All right.
Nick!
Gentlemen!
Nick's your buddy. Kind of guy you can drink a beer with.
Start your engine!
My papa's son wandering out a smoking gun. Now some of you would live through me and lock me up and throw away the key. Or just find a place to hide away and hope that I'll just go away. Huh. But I feel alright. I feel alright tonight.
All right, all right, all right. Good morning, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago, and we are here on a Friday morning. Yes, it is Friday, and all of our regular Friday features are back, and we've got You Big Dummy, Straight Out of Context. Now, You Big Dummy is when we take real news stories of real dumb people doing real dumb stuff. We read them, and then we vote on who the biggest dummy is, and then we have a dummy of the week. We've got that. We've got Straight Out of Context, and Straight Out of Context is when you listen to this radio station 24/7. Whenever anybody at any time says something that you can pull out of context and it sounds dirty and it makes you giggle, you jot down the day, the time, who said it, and you send it to nickdshow@gmail.com, and then we play them back, and that's Straight Out of Context. We've got Nick D Show Spies. That's when you listen 24/7. Whenever anybody mentions me or the show in any capacity, you become a spy. We want to know about it. So you jot down the day, the time, who said it, and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. And then, of course, Fly Jams Friday will be coming up. So, just in a couple of minutes, our good friend Rick Geezer is going to be here. Rick Geezer from sportssongs.com. He has a collection of songs that are performed by athletes or managers or anybody associated with sports. Since baseball season just kicked off yesterday, we are going to do a baseball. It'll be our first baseball opening day themed sports songs. So we'll have a lot of fun listening to some of those songs that have been performed in the world of baseball. So that's coming up. Our phone number is 312-981-7200 for talk and text. We are also, Roy Orbison and Buddy Holly are going to go on tour even though they're dead. We'll talk about that. And speaking of tours, we're going to talk about awkwardly empty concerts, some of the best concert tours of all time. And then I want to hear from you guys and just open up the phone lines. We'll do this later. What was your first concert? What was your worst concert that you've ever gone to? And what was the best concert you've ever gone to? So keep all that in mind and call us up and we'll talk about that stuff right before we get to our regular Friday features, which are coming up. Again, 312-981-7200 for talk and text. Anytime you want to join us throughout the show, if you want to follow us on Twitter, you can. It's really easy. It's at Nick D Show. That's at Twitter. You can also stay connected with us on Facebook. It's updated constantly during the show. So it's facebook.com/Nick D Show. So there we go. Finishing up our first week with the new producer, Tom Hush. Tom, how are you?
Oh, there we go. Hey, I'm feeling good.
Yeah?
I'm feeling fantastic.
All right, man. Been a great week, first week for you, man.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun getting to know everybody.
Yep, and it'll continue to be fun, man. We'll have a really good time. Now, this is your first Friday feature day.
That it is.
So, you know, it's going to be fun to participate in that. Now, I we were trying to figure out a name for you for Fly Jams Friday because you're the DJ.
True.
And every DJ who's ever worked with me, producer or DJ slash a DJ who's ever worked with me, had a nickname. Mm-hmm. So we had to come up with a nickname. We were throwing stuff around. And then suddenly, tell everybody the story that you told me just a little bit earlier.
Yeah, so I was looking back through some of the texts we got through the week. So thank you to everybody who sent in so many great suggestions.
Yes.
I loved it. Royal Hush was one of my favorites, and also DJ Hush Puppy.
Right.
Another great one. But so I guess someone that I knew in high school must know that I'm on this show now, because they texted in and they hit me with a nickname that I had in high school that I haven't heard for at least, that would have been like, what, 6-7 years ago now?
Mm-hmm. God, and you're so young.
I know.
So it was a nickname that you haven't heard in years that you had in high school.
Yes.
Okay. And so this person obviously went to school with you.
Yeah, they definitely went to Crystal Lake Central, and they definitely were in one of my gym periods because we used to do this yearly volleyball competition. And this is where I got the nickname for being captain of the team.
And by the way, Tom's a very big guy. How tall are you?
I am 6'4" and 250 pounds.
Yeah, you're a big dude.
Yeah.
You're a big dude. So volleyball makes sense. Right, yeah. Right in front of the net. That makes sense.
Oh, yeah. I was slamming him down.
All right, so there you go. So that's the setup. And then you want to tell everybody the nickname?
Yeah, the nickname was Luscious Huscious.
Oh, yeah, Luscious Huscious, baby.
There it is, man.
DJ Luscious Huscious.
There it is, man. You can't top that.
No.
You can't top that. DJ Luscious Huscious. That's fantastic. Well, there you go. That's it. You have been crowned. Every Friday morning, you are DJ. When we start Fly Jams Friday, you are DJ Luscious Huscious.
I love it.
Yeah, it's great. All right. So DJ Luscious Huscious will make his first appearance later on when we do Fly Jams Friday. But there we go. Can we hear that little sound bite again one more time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Made it just a little bit. Here we go. One more time.
Oh, yeah. Luscious Huscious, baby. Oh, yeah. Luscious Huscious, baby.
There you go.
Just before you get sick of it.
All right. Well, there you go. There's Tom Hush having a great time. Fitting right in. In the newsroom is Vic Vaughn. Hi, Vic.
Morning, sir.
It didn't take long for Tom Hush to fit right in. What do you think?
Yeah, that's awesome. I love it. Because I've been thinking about it, too, at home and, you know, bouncing ideas off Genie. It's better than anything I came up with.
DJ Luscious Huscious. It's fantastic. So how are you there, Vic?
I'm very excited to be here. I'm seriously in a great mood. I love it.
All right.
It's Friday.
What do you got going for the weekend? Anything?
It's another weekend with Genie and I on our own.
That's nice.
All we know so far is we want to go into one of the neighborhoods. We want to get out of downtown, so we're going to go to, we threw around the idea of maybe going to Chinatown, but we like the north side. I don't know. We're not sure yet.
Well, you're just going to figure something out.
Yeah.
Just get away from it all.
Yep, yep. Yeah. Just spend a little time in the neighborhood somewhere.
All right. I'm excited for the weekend because there's a new Matthew McConaughey pot movie that opens tomorrow.
What's this called?
It's called The Beach Bum.
I think I just saw a little video of it.
It's a stoner movie, and he basically plays a pothead who's trying to write a book but parties a lot, and it's got Matthew McConaughey, Zac Efron, Jonah Hill, Jimmy Buffett, and Snoop Dogg in it. So I'm guessing pot was smoked on the set. That's a hunch I have. I'm imagining they blew a lot of weed on the set of this movie. That would be my.
Even if you didn't smoke one on the set, you were probably blowing weed.
Well, you know what they're doing at the Music Box?
What?
They're actually it's going to be in Odorama, and they're pumping into the vents. They're pumping into the vents a safe, gas or not a gas, but a safe aroma that smells exactly like pot. So you can sit in the theater and the whole theater's gonna smell
really?
Like pot. Yeah, they're doing that at the Music Box.
Man, that's interesting. Have you ever heard of anything like that before?
Well, no. You know, there was actually Odorama did exist. John Waters made a movie in the early '80s called Polyester, and it was in quote unquote Odorama. And what you got was a scratch and sniff card, which had corresponding numbers. It was like 1 through 20 or something like that. And so during the movie, when you're watching the movie, in the bottom right-hand corner of the screen, a number would flash. And that means you had to scratch that corresponding number and sniff, and you could smell what was happening in the...
Wow, I did not know
in
that.
In the scene. It's ridiculous.
Is it supposed to enhance the experience?
Well, yeah, but it's John Waters, so it's just really, like,
just for fun.
Yeah, and and goofy and cheesy, and, you know, and really sort of, you know, cheesy and stuff. But what he would do, because he's John Waters, what he would do is, like, you were looking on screen, and let's say, because Divine was in it, of course. And so you're looking on screen, like, Divine is in a room, and it's full of roses, okay? So the number flashes, the corresponding number flashes, you scratch and sniff, and just as you're scratching and about to sniff, Divine farts, and then you sniff, and it's a fart smell.
No.
Yes, I'm not kidding.
Oh, man, that's great.
There's one scene where they had a gas leak in the house, and they had the corresponding number. You scratch the sniff, and it smelled exactly like a gas leak. It smelled exactly like a
gas leak. That's amazing.
So that was Odorama. But they're actually pumping a scent into the auditorium at the Music Box for this movie. So I'm not seeing an Odorama, but I am seeing it this weekend. And anything with Matthew McConaughey, I got to get on it. So anyway, it's going to be a fun weekend too. And I mean, the Hawks are still alive, man. The Hawks are still alive.
Keep the hope alive.
Yeah, you got to keep it. You got to keep it alive. And they're still on the West Coast, and so we got a game on Saturday night that we can all look forward to. So, all right. Hey, speaking of sports, you see how I segued there?
Nice.
That's why I got a plaque in the sidewalk across the river.
Oh yeah,
that's why.
I didn't even see that coming. You just snuck me right
into
that.
Man. Yeah, Walk of Fame, man. That's what it is. We're going to take a break here. When we come back, Rick Geezer is going to be with us. Obviously, baseball season just started. Yesterday was opening day. Cubs with a resounding victory, actually. And so...
the Texas Baseball Massacre, baby.
That's exactly right. But we're going to have a baseball theme. Rick Geezer is here, and he has sports songs. And we've got a bunch of sports songs that are baseball-related that we are going to jump into right after we take this break on WGN. The bigger they are, the harder they fall. The Bulls host the Raptors as they look to upset the Eastern Conference contenders. Saturday, 6:30 on WGN-TV. Yes, nothing like the old baseball organ. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here, and we are back, and it's Friday morning. All the regular Friday features are coming up. And right now, though, we would like to welcome back to the show. Your baseball season started yesterday, and it's always fantastic. Everything is anew. It's springtime. It's baseball. We love it. So we always bring in Rick Geezer to join us right at the beginning of the baseball season. To talk about and to play some baseball-related sports songs. And let's welcome Rick to the show. Hi, Rick.
Thank you very much for having me.
How are
you?
It's
great. You know what? This time of year, it's a time of rebirth. We have things to look forward to. Well, the Cubs will be 162-0. The White Sox will be 161-1.
Right. That's what we're looking at. And, you know, this is always sort of my favorite time of year as well. We've been lucky enough that for a majority of the past few years, not only does baseball season start, but hockey season is extended. That's been the case for, it might not be the case this year. We're still,
or last year.
Or last year before. Yeah. But it has been for the majority
yes,
of the
has.
Past, like 10 years. We've had a good time. But even if the Hawks aren't in it, I still love hockey. So this is like one of my favorite times of year. Baseball starts and hockey continues. And those are my two favorite sports, hockey and
WrestleMania
baseball.
WrestleMania is coming up. The NFL draft is coming up.
Exactly. So it's big time.
Yeah.
But we want to concentrate on baseball this morning because it's spring and we've got some baseball season going. Tell everybody about sports songs, how it started and what it is.
There any song performed by an athlete, coach, major league or professional athletic executive,
mm-hmm.
umpires, referees. I have thousands and thousands of them. The house is filled with them. And I got started, about 25 years ago from the legend, Dr. Demento.
Yes.
He gave me a few songs that he played on his show. I had a chance to interview him, and I said, hey, what about athletes? And he gave me some songs by Ernie Banks and Ron Say and different players like that, and it was a light bulb went off.
Yeah.
You know, we all thought, oh, it's only the Super Bowl shuffle. Nay, nay.
No.
Nay, nay.
And we've discovered that over the years that you've been coming on the show that there are a lot of sports
songs.
A lot
more.
Good old Dr. Demento. You got to love that guy. I used to listen to him every Sunday night.
Every Sunday.
And then I was his competition.
And you smoked him.
I did. I smoked him in the ratings. All right. Well, let's get to it. Well, first of all, that was the great Nancy Faust.
That was. That was from a 45 she put out in 1971. The song was called On Deck, and it's a very young
There she is.
Nancy Faust.
You got to love Nancy Faust. She's
in a White Sox uniform.
In a White Sox. She's a legend.
She's awesome.
Absolutely. Okay.
And
so,
it's like, this is a town that we love our sports so much that the organists become celebrities.
Yes, that's true.
I mean, we've got Frank Pellico. We've got, you know, I can't, the legendary from the stadium.
Gary, are you talking about Gary Pressey?
Well, Gary Pressey, yes, for the Cubs, but Al Malkin.
Oh, Al Malkin, yeah, right.
You know, so all these legendary organists that it's like, whoa.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, let's get into it. We're going to have time for a couple of songs here before we break for the news.
Well, let's start really strong. This is a song from 1981. It's track 68.
Right.
We've played this many times. But it's one of our favorites, it's one of your favorites, and it's from one of the greatest professional baseball players in Chicago. Definitely, probably the greatest Chicago Cub. I mean, it could be argued ever. Mr. Cub, Ernie Banks.
Okay.
And he put out a song called Teamwork in 1981.
The great Ernie Banks. Here we go.
When I slam that long ball, it's a powerful and strong ball that burns a hole in the sky. When you hear those fans thunder, they leave no room for wonder. You can kiss that baby bye-bye. But I know I'm not alone when I tag that plate, and I'll share with you the reason why. If you want to rate as a baseball great, you need teamwork with the other guy. I can feel those good vibrations as those fellas shout and call, and I know they're rooting for me. When I see that ball flying over the wall, I can feel just how it's gotta be. On the other side of that wall, there's another game waiting for me. Working together to make the world better takes teamwork and harmony.
Yeah. Fantastic.
You gotta love that,
it's
don't
fantastic.
You?
It's absolutely fantastic. The great Ernie Banks, Mr. Cub. Yeah, 1981. It sounds like it was made in 1981.
Yeah, oh, definitely. Definitely. It's got that drum sound.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's do a quick one here before we break.
Let's go on the other side of the town.
Right.
The White Sox. Didn't play for the White Sox, but he was a broadcaster for the White Sox on television for a number of years. Track 93, Don Drysdale, Hall of Fame pitcher for the Dodgers. In 1963, he put out a record on Elektra Records, and it's called One Love, and I think you guys might like this.
All right, here we go. Don Drysdale.
I want but one love, an honest and true love. I want but one love, and it's you. The stronger is love, dear, with each passing new year. 'Cause I found my one love, and it's you.
That's pretty.
It is pretty.
Yeah. Don Drysdale.
Yeah, definitely jumping on that Pat Boone craze.
Absolutely. Well, there you go. All right, that's how we're kicking it off here. Rick, hang out, okay?
All right, thanks for having
me. We are going to take a break here. We got the news coming up, and then more baseball-themed sports songs. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. And if you have any leads on some sports songs, Rick is always looking. So we got that going, too. But we'll take a break, and the news is up after this. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. And it is baseball season. Just kicked off yesterday, opening day. And we thought we would have Rick Geezer come in, and we'll play in some great baseball-related sports songs. Rick, welcome back.
Thank you. It's always an honor. And that was Frank Pellico,
yes,
former Cubs organist, and that was from his 1976 LP called Touching.
Touching.
Wow. And that, of course, you know what song that was.
That's of course, Sweet Caroline.
The Boston Red Sox favorite,
yeah,
song.
Exactly. 312-981-7200 is the phone number, and we're just having some fun playing some baseball sports songs. And by the way, people can check out your website for sports songs. It's sportsongs.com.
And on Facebook as well.
And on Facebook as well. And still got some podcasts up at WGNRadio.com.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, Rick, let's keep going here.
Let's go to track 228. This song, I love this song. And I love the story of the individual even more. This is was released in 1957. It's a song called Mary Lou by Lou Burdett. A lot of people don't remember Lou Burdett, but you should. Lou Burdett was a pitcher for the Milwaukee Braves, and he spent a little time with the Chicago Cubs. But in 1957, the Braves beat the Yankees in the World Series, and he was the MVP of the series. And what was so exceptional about that series is that Lou Burdett had three complete games.
Isn't that insane?
Three complete games in the World Series, and two were shutouts.
That's unbelievable.
It just floors me to think about that.
Really? And I mean, especially nowadays, the way they handle pitchers.
Right.
You know, with the pitch count and all that stuff, it just doesn't happen. But wow, three complete games in the World Series. Crazy.
And then immediately after winning the World Series MVP, he recorded this, record.
Okay. All right. Well, good for him. Here we go.
I love that song.
Yeah.
And what's kind of cool on this, and it was put out by Dot Records, which was
a major
of the
label.
Era, was
yeah.
a major label.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it, you know, it says Mary Lou, Lou Burdett, and it's listed as the 1957 World Series pitching hero. That's how they have the label.
That's how it's on the label? all right. There it is, Lou Burdett, 1957.
I just handed him the 45. 45s, everybody.
But yeah, 45, you don't know what a 45 is. They used to be these things that you could buy and play on a record player.
Is that like a CD or
you
something?
You know what a 45 is?
That's a huge CD.
You know, my new producer is only 25 years old.
Yeah, I do.
I got 45s at home. I got Seven Nation Army on 45.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, vinyl has made a comeback.
Vinyl is hip now.
So it is, yes. Okay.
And it's thicker now, isn't it?
It is.
Like thicker than it was?
Well, you get like, they want to sell you 180 gram vinyl at like $30 a pop.
Yeah. Well, it's back. All right. What do we got next?
Okay. Let's go to track 135. Or 235. Oh, okay. I've got to put my glasses on. And this is from a couple of former Chicago players, Lenny Randle, who played for the Cubs, and Thad Bosley, who played for the Cubs and the White Sox.
That's
they had
right.
a little group called the Ball Players, and they put out this song in 1983 called Jam Wit Us.
That's when the Sox were winning ugly.
They were, but neither of them were there at that point.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they were playing with Seattle.
Oh, they
that
were.
Time.
Okay,
yeah.
All right. Well,
yeah, because they put out a 45 also where about the Kingdom.
Oh, right. Okay,
Kingdom. We played that a few years back.
Okay, so this is Lenny and Thad from 1983.
jam with us. Don't you wanna jam with us? Don't you wanna kick up some dust?
Kick up some dust.
Don't you wanna kick up some dust?
Kick up some dust.
Very, very complicated lyrics in that song. Do we know who the bass player was on that?
I don't, but that would be a good person to check out.
Pretty
yeah.
funky, man. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Okay. Not the lyrics, not so strong. Music, pretty good.
Don't you want to jam with us?
Don't you want to raise some dust? See? All right.
Well, they must have been playing for Lou Piniella.
Yeah. Or Herman Franks.
That's true. Yeah. They probably did. Yeah.
Okay. What do we got next?
Let's play something we haven't played before.
Oh, okay.
And this is not a new song, but it's new to the show.
All right.
It's track 320. This is one of my favorite players growing up, Carmen Fanzone.
Oh, yeah.
He was a utility guy who played for the Cubs. And he was more well-known because he played the trumpet at for the national anthem a couple times at Wrigley Field. Yeah. And he married a woman named Sue Rainey, and she's a jazz vocalist and has been nominated for several Grammy Awards, never won. You may recognize her voice from the movie Wait Until Dark. She sang the theme of that movie.
Wow.
And in 1984, she put out an album with the Bob Florence group called Riding High. Mm-hmm. And it's a song called Baseball. And Carmen plays the flugelhorn on it.
Oh, okay.
So why don't we check that out?
All right.
That's the track.
Got it.
Okay.
Here we go.
Love is just like baseball. All it is baseball. Love is just like baseball.
That's good.
He's not bad.
No.
Not bad at all.
No.
He's never released his own, but he's played on several of her recordings through the years.
Yeah.
And they're still married. They live in Southern California. And she and he perform together from time to time.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a great ball player, too.
You know what? He was a fan favorite.
Yeah.
He was a fan favorite.
I loved it. Yeah. All right.
I mean, think about that. You had him, Paul Popovich, J.C. Martin. I mean, yeah. He had some characters.
On the team. Yeah. All right. What's next?
Another new one, and this I pulled from an old short. It's track 319. This is arguably the greatest name in baseball history, Babe Ruth. He put out a short for Vitaphone in 1937 called "Home Run on the Keys," directed by Roy Mack, who's directed about 200 shorts of that era.
Mm-hmm.
And he sang a song in the movie called and he's listed as one of the co-writers of the song is called "Home Run on the Keys."
So this is Babe Ruth singing.
This is Babe Ruth. Well, you'll take a look.
We'll be the judge
check
of
it
that.
Out.
All right, here we go.
Well, hello, folks. My two friends and myself have written a number called "Home Run on the Keys." We're jumping into the studio like this, of sudden Why, we figure we got two strikes on us already. But remember, you only have one to hit. So, David, play it.
Okay.
Writing credit for that?
He got a writing credit.
That's great. That is great.
And you can see the entire short. It's about 9 minutes on YouTube.
Oh, that's
I've
fantastic.
Seen it before on Turner Classics before. You know,
oh, man. That
so
is,
I was aware of it.
I got to see the whole thing.
Yeah, so you can check that out on YouTube. That's, and it's basically he and some buddies are in a lodge. And they're figuring out what to do. He tells some stories. He tells about the called home run at Wrigley Field, and then they go into the studio and they perform that fabulous song.
That is fantastic. Okay, Rick, hang on. More sports song, baseball sports songs. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. Some of these are just fantastic. That was an example of one that's just awesome. And we got more to come here. The day after baseball's opening day, and Rick is here. More sports songs after this. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Allstate Skyline studio on a Friday morning. All the regular Friday features are coming up. Straight out of context, Nick D Show Spies, You Big Dummy, Fly Jams Friday. And we're also going to be talking about a brand new tour that's happening featuring Roy Orbison and Buddy Holly, even though they're dead. And then we're going to talk about some of the best concert tours of all time. And we want to hear from you. What was your first concert? What was your worst concert? What was your best concert? That's what we're going to be talking about a little bit later on before we jump into the regular Friday features. Right now, though, Rick Geezer is with us from sportssongs.com. And yesterday was opening day for professional baseball, and we're very excited about that. So we're doing a baseball theme edition of Sports Songs, and that was Stan the Man.
Stan Musial, and that's from a cassette and harmonica play songbook called Stan Musial Plays the Harmonica.
Right, right. And it came with a harmonica.
It comes with a harmonica. I've got it in my box and stuff there.
Yeah.
So.
Very, very cool. You've shown that one out here before.
Yeah.
So, okay, where do we go next?
Why don't we go, this is just a terrific one, track 100. Our good friend Vince Moranto loves this one, and I think you will love it as well. It's by Bobby Bragan. Bobby Bragan was the first manager for the Atlanta Braves. He also, coached and managed throughout the major leagues for about six decades. He was involved with baseball, and then he got called up to manage a minor league team for one day in like 2005. So he'd get like an eighth deck, kind of like they did with Minnie Minoso.
Oh, right.
You know, with the White Sox years ago. They gave him, one other chance. And he put out a CD called Brotherly Love in 2005, and he put out a song called You Can't Hit a Ball with a Bat on Your Shoulders.
I love this one,
too. This is a terrific one.
So I hope maybe Vince is listening. But this is a great one.
You can't hit the ball with the bat on your shoulder. You got to get up there and swing. You'll never hit that apple till you start getting bolder. Hitting the ball is a thing. Now when you get your chance, look the facts in the eye. You'll never hit a homer if you watch him go by. You can't hit the ball, the bat on your shoulder. You gotta get up there and swing. You're king on the throne when you're up at the plate. But don't go up there swinging like an old rusty gate. Oh, you can't hit the ball if you look like a soldier. You gotta get up there and swing. You know, the boys were playing baseball one evening. They hadn't hit a ball all that year. And every time a player left the dugout, the band would yell into his ear, they shosh, you can't hit the ball, dummy, with the bat on your shoulder. You gotta get up there and swing. Now you can crack that fastball, smack that number two, but don't just stand there nodding, how do you do? When the duck's on the pond, it's your time to smile. Don't be like Casey saying, that's not my style. You can't hit the ball with the bat on your shoulder. You gotta get up there and swing. It's a much shorter walk to the dugout when your teammates know that you tried. But more important, when you swing, you know you went all out, so you have to feel better inside. Oh, you can't hit the ball.
That is fantastic. Seriously, it's one of my favorites, too.
That's such a good one.
It's
definitely
great.
Definitely Jimmy Durante inspired.
Oh, no question about it.
But just a terrific song.
I love that one, too.
Again, you know, we love baseball, so we love the almost was,
yeah,
and almost were,
sure,
you know, the kind of journeyman people who have such great stories,
right?
You know, they played with greats, they were part of great teams, but they may not be the superstars, but
right,
they were there,
yeah,
and they have a lot to say and,
yeah,
and share and teach us.
Very cool. I kind of like I've always liked the players that were a little bit under the radar, not the superstars. Like my favorite, the only Cub jersey that I own that has a name on the back is Morandini. Mickey Morandini.
Mickey Morandini.
Mickey Morandini was one of my favorite Cubs ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, great
guy.
So it's funny, I had him on my show one time. I've had Mickey on the show a couple times. I think he's still, he's actually now with the Phillies, right? Is he first base coach with the Phillies?
I think he might be.
Yeah. But anyway, he lived in Indiana. And so I had him on a couple of times. And one time I had him on and I was talking to him and I said, you know what? I have a Mickey Morandini jersey. And he goes, well, good. That makes two of us.
Did you have him sign it, or were you just
no?
On the
he
phone?
Was on the phone. Okay. Yeah. But you know, it's really funny because you know people who listen to the show know I've told the Mickey Morandini that I have a Mickey Morandini jersey, and like I'm really that's nobody else has a Mickey. He's right. It's just me and him. And so whenever I go to a Cub game and I'm wearing my Mickey Morandini jersey, people know who I am. They go, "Oh, it's Nick DiGilio. That's Nick DiGilio," because he's the only person that has a Morandini jersey. So great stuff. Okay, what's next?
Okay, let's Let's play a track that we definitely love.
Okay.
Or do you want to hold off for the Jimmy Pearsall?
No, let's do Jimmy Pearsall.
Pearsall. It's track 69. In 1987, he put out an instructional cassette teaching kids how to play ball. And, of course, being the hip cat that he was, he had to include a rap song called Thinking Baseball. And this is truly special.
Yeah, this is pretty legendary. Here we go.
My name and winning is my game. Thinking is the way if you want to play. Play, play, play with all your heart. You gotta love to play, that's the way to start.
Play, practice, play, practice, practice. If you practice all the time, results you will see. Work hard.
Jimmy Pearsall just disappeared?
Just.
By the way, I just want to let you know, yeah, you were not looking at Tom. Tom was losing it during
that. Oh, good.
I mean, that is. Some people say that Dr. Dre is a legend. Yeah. I think that's possibly
Pearsall,
the greatest.
Yeah, Pearsall's taken over.
Well, Dr. Dre, you know, he would gather sounds, and I'm pretty convinced Dre was probably, you know, consuming some Pearsall.
Absolutely. No question about it. Jimmy Pearsall, what a legend, that guy. I'll tell you something. I'm not a Sox fan. I am a Cubs fan, and I realize that we are the station that broadcasts the White Sox, and I hope that they do well. I would never really, I'm not, you know, I don't root on the Sox, but I'll tell you something. In the 70s, I watched the Channel 44 broadcasts all the time because him and Harry Carey, unbelievable.
I think they, you know, well, Harry, of course, is in the Hall, but I think as a team, they belong in the Hall of Fame.
I totally agree.
They were so good at that time. And everybody tuned in because Harry would say something just, you know, like a child, just out of the blue, and Pearsall was ripping on somebody or someone's wife.
Or someone's wife, exactly. Hey, Jimmy, how about another Falstaff? That's because it was Falstaff beer.
Exactly.
But, okay, Rick, hang on, all right?
All right.
We'll take a break. We got more baseball-themed sports songs to play, and the news is coming up right after this. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. Friday. That means all the regular Friday features are back. That would be Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, You Big Dummy, and Fly Jams Friday. Rick Geezer has been hanging out with us. Baseball season officially started yesterday, so we wanted to get Rick in here to have some baseball sports songs that we can bat around. And I swear to you, I didn't mean to say that. All right. Anyway, hi, Rick.
Hey, that was a swing and a miss.
Who was the? Thank you very much.
Heyo.
Who was that? Who was that?
That was Yankees legend Bernie Williams doing the Kansas song. Was not never played for Kansas City Royals, but did like Kansas.
All right. Well, there you go. Dust in the Wind, man. Jeez, if you were around in the late 70s, there was you couldn't turn your radio on without that song being on every 2 seconds.
Oh, that was, nowadays I think about it because of that Will Ferrell movie where they were starting the fraternity.
Oh, old,
and he's saying that,
old school.
Oh, Blue.
Old school.
Blue, you're my boy, Blue.
Yeah. All right, what do we got next?
Okay, let's go to track 321. This is my brother's favorite baseball player from the 70s, Johnny Bench. And
What was the track number again?
It was track 321. It's the last track on there.
All right.
And this is one we haven't played before. I pulled this from the January 20th, 1973 episode of Hee Haw. And he came on and he played the Jim Croce song, You Don't Mess Around With Jim, also featured on that episode. And he did comedy with Barbie Benton and String Bean and all the Hee-Haw crew.
Right.
And also on that show singing songs were Loretta Lynn and Conway Twitty doing, solo songs, then doing a duet and the Hagers. And If you watched Hee-Haw from that era, and our family did.
Yeah, we watched Hee-Haw when I was growing up.
It's really interesting, that show.
Yeah.
Really interesting.
Yeah.
Watching them nowadays.
Yeah.
Nowadays.
So this is from January 20th, 1973.
Yes.
Johnny Bench on Hee-Haw.
Yes.
All right.
Uptown got its hustlers. Bowery got its bums. 42nd Street got Big Jim Walker. He's a bull-shooting son of a gun. But he big and dumb as a man can come. But he's stronger than a country horse. And when the bad folks all get together at night, you know they all call Big Jim boss just because. And they say you don't tug on Superman's cape. You don't spit into the wind. You don't pull Ranger, and you don't mess around with Jim.
Well, down South Alabama come a country boy. He said, looking for a man named Jim. I am a fool shooting boy named Willie McCoy, but down home they call me Slim.
Uh-huh.
Well, I'm looking for the king of 42nd Street.
Wow. Johnny Bench, had he ever sung anything else?
I never found him to sing, but I found on eBay once, and I bought it, and I don't think I have it with me. Oh, I do. I bought the Johnny Bench songbook for vocal, guitar, organ, and piano solo. Oh,
thank God.
Oh, wait a minute. Now I got to see this. That's fantastic. What era is this?
That's in the 70s.
Yeah, of course it is.
You know, and then after baseball, a lot of people remember him, and you might remember him because of he did that baseball, you know, TV show where he had the kids and they'd talk about baseball and life. And
well, this is 1971, and it certainly looks like 1971. That's fantastic.
So I remember, you know, a lot of time people of that era, we used to have a chord organ. Remember the chord organs? And we would have songbooks that look similar to this.
Yeah, yeah. So. No question about it. All right, well, Johnny Bench on Hee Haw. Not quite sure why his name is not Jim. Not sure why he chose to sing that song.
I don't know, but and he was doing comedy throughout
the episode.
Throughout the episode, and then of that era, he appeared on two or three additional episodes, not singing, just
doing being
little comedy blackouts,
wacky hee-haw stuff.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right. What's next?
All right. Let's play a song that was influenced by the Super Bowl Shuffle.
All right.
This is track 101. It is the 1986 Dodgers, and they called themselves the Baseball Boogie Bunch. And this group included Oral Hershiser, Fernando Valenzuela, Bob Welch, Jerry Royce, Mike Socia. You know, a lot of names we know. And this song was actually not just influenced, but it was written and produced by the same team that put together the Super Bowl Shuffle.
Okay.
And the same year also put together Let's Ram It for the Los Angeles Rams.
Oh, right. Right, we've played that one.
Yes.
All right, well, here we go. These are the Dodgers, the Baseball Boogie Bunch from 1986. That certainly is a boogie. It's a baseball boogie bunch.
It's a bunch.
Bunch of something.
And the video, which you can see on YouTube also, has a lot of different celebrities. Ed Begley.
Number
of people coming into the club to rock with the boogie bunch.
Yeah, of course, because it's L.A., man.
Exactly.
You got to get your celebrities. You got to get your celebrities in there.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
All right.
It's a tasty video if you want to check
that out. You got to check that one out.
Yeah.
Okay, what's next?
Let's go to track 111. Earlier in the program, we played a sweet little song from 1963 by Don Drysdale.
Yeah.
Now, this is a song by another Hall of Famer, Ozzie Smith, that came out in 2005, but the song was from that same era. It's Cupid, classic song by Sam Cooke.
Right, okay. Then this is Ozzie Smith. Here we go.
Cupid, draw back your bow and let your arrow go straight to my lover's heart. Your bow
Not bad.
Not bad at all.
No.
Not bad.
It's pretty good.
I thought, I mean, we're making fun of a lot of them, so let's play something that's,
yeah, that's good.
Decent as
good.
Well.
Too bad he played for the Cardinals.
We would have loved him if he played
it
here.
Been, I would have said it was been much better if he didn't play for the Cardinals. No, that's good. So it's a whole CD. So he did
it. It's a whole, no, he, it wasn't from his CD.
Oh.
It was a CD of a lot of different
oh,
players.
Oh, I see. Okay. All right.
Exactly.
So I gotcha.
Yeah. On that CD, it was Coco Crisp and a number of other players recorded songs.
Right.
Jimmy Rollins.
All right, cool. Yeah. Rick, hang on, okay?
Okay.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we got more baseball-related sports songs to play. Having some fun here on a Friday morning. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. So we'll come back more with Rick Geezer after this. This week on Chicago's Best, get ready for a big, fat Greek episode where family and food come first. It's Chicago's Best Greek, Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV. Welcome back, everybody. Yeah, Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Allstate Skyline Studio. Rick Geezer's with us. We're doing baseball sports songs. Tell everybody who that was.
That was the Cubs honcho, Theo Epstein.
Yes.
That's from the CD Hot Stove Cool. You know, he does that big charity thing every year. That's from a few years back when, in 2004, back when he was still working
with Boston
at that point.
That's right. Okay. All right. There you go.
And you know the song, of course, Rockin' in the Free World.
Neil Young can't go wrong with that. All right. Let's get back into it.
Let's go to track 218. This is from 1954. Hall of Famer Dizzy Dean, who a lot of people might remember as a broadcaster as well. But he was a great pitcher. Played for the Cubs for a bit and then called the games nationally. He put out a record in 1954. And on this track, the song is called "You Don't Have to Be from the Country." He was, of course, well known for the Wabash Cannonball.
Right,
this is
right.
This is the flip side of that record.
Here we go, Dizzy Dean.
You don't have to be from the country to like the music of a good hillbilly band. You can take it straight from old days, folks, 'cause I think that country music's really grand. I used to hear that horn-tooting music whenever I'd turn on my radio. I'd listen to the jazz and all that razzmatazz, but that, my friend, was many years ago. And then one lucky day, I heard a fella, instead of play, he said he's gonna pick. As I listened, right away, I said, this is here to stay. Was like he hit me with a ton of brick. So you don't have to be from the country.
That's pretty great, actually. I like that. I think that's pretty great. All right, Dizzy Dean. Okay, what do we got next?
Let's go to track 75. This is one of the first songs I received from Dr. Demento. Mm-hmm. About 25 years ago. And this is by legendary Dodgers third baseman and then Cubs third baseman, the Penguin, Ron Say. In 1976, he put out a song called Third Base Bag. And this is what we're going to listen to.
Okay, Ron Say, the Penguin. Here we go.
Standing here regarding the third baseline. My job ain't first, but it ain't far behind. Plenty of spring, and when the summertime comes, I'll still be doing my thing. And if a fall wind is blowing, I dodge a panic flag. I'm playing the third base bag. Well, I never get tired of dust in my eyes, or chasing ground balls, or catching pop flies. Standing here on a gorgeous day, waiting for the man to say it's time to play. I can't believe I made it, but I know it's no gag. I'm playing the third base back.
Yeah.
And playing with the Dodgers, he was kind of, you know, in the middle of that whole entertainment scene.
Yeah. Because
then a few years later, he also appeared in a movie which director is a fan, you're a fan of, who just recently died, Larry Cohen. He was in the movie Q.
Oh, I don't even remember that. I love Q.
He was in the movie Q.
Wow, okay. Gives me another reason to watch another Larry Cohen movie then.
Yes.
Yeah.
So he played, I'm looking him up right now, he played one of the cops.
Oh, he was just... All right.
In so in Q, of course, prehistoric...
Right, Q the winged serpent.
Exactly.
Yes. All right. All right. What else we got?
Okay, let's go to track 76. I was so excited when the Chicago Cubs traded for Bobby Mercer. I loved Bobby
Me
Mercer.
Too. One of my favorite Cubs.
Loved him. Yeah. Didn't really... He had a really good career, but he never had the career. He was supposed to be the next Mantle, and he just never lived. But who can live up to Mickey Mantle?
Yeah.
But in 1983, he put out a song called Skull Dipping Man.
Can't do that anymore.
No.
All right, here we go.
Pardon me if I seem just a little bold, but it's just because I got myself another dip of skull. And I keep my little tin of wintergreen handy in the pocket of my new designer jean. Just a pinch between my finger and my thumb makes me feel like a million, makes me feel like a long home run. I'm a soul-dipping, skull-dipping man. I'm a soul-dipping, skull-dipping man. I'm a soul-dipping, skull-dipping man. I am a soul-dipping man. Now just a pinch of smokeless skull between...
You think he got compensated at all for that?
He might have.
From the skull? We got time for one more.
One more. Okay, yeah. Why don't we go with the classic Cubs song from 1969. Of course, everybody knows about the Cubs LP that came out that year, but most people don't know that in 1969 they put out a 45 on Chess Records called Pennant Fever. And we're going to hear that, but what's most important about this is the dust jacket. It was on that dust jacket. Billy Williams is drinking a beer.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And Ronnie's there, too.
And Ron, it's Ron, Billy, Don Kessinger, Randy Hundley, Gene Oliver, Nate Oliver, and Willie Smith.
Okay, here we go. 1969 Cubs with Pennant Fever. That's classic. That's classic. And that sleeve of the 45 is pretty great.
Definitely.
Very
solid.
Cool. Everybody check out sportssongs.com and also on Facebook. Rick, always a pleasure. We'll get you in here again. What are we going to say here? Football?
Let's do it.
Yeah, okay.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Football, basketball, got basketball, a whole lot of stuff. A
whole lot of stuff coming up. Yeah. All right. Rick, always a pleasure.
Thank you.
There you go. Rick Geezer, sportssongs.com. You can check him out on Facebook and at WGNRadio.com. The news is coming up after this.
I feel blue without Peggy. My Peggy Sue.
Yeah, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio, and we are here until 5 a.m. It is Friday. Our regular Friday features will be coming up a little bit later on, and that's Fly Jams Friday, straight out of context, Nick D. Show Spives, and it all gets kicked off with You Big Dummy. And that's all coming up. So 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We'd love to hear from you guys. These are the three options. What was your first concert, your worst concert, and your best concert that you've ever seen? First, worst, and best concerts. 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you would like to join us, talk or text. We just played a little, Tom just played a little Buddy Holly. And, obviously Gary Busey played Buddy Holly. In the Buddy Holly story. Have I told you my Gary Busey story?
Oh, you did.
Okay.
Running around.
I just didn't know whether I had told you that I hung out with Gary Busey for a week, and it was, it was hanging out with Gary Busey.
They should do a documentary about it.
Well,
and Gary.
Yeah. Well, they did a show called Me and Busey. It was on Comedy Central, and it was pretty close to, it was pretty close to what it was really like hanging out with that guy. It was nuts. Nuts. So, but anyway, Buddy Holly, the reason why that was played is Roy Orbison and Buddy Holly are going on tour, even though they're both dead. In a move that many believed would be impossible until the government perfected zombie technology, both Roy Orbison and Buddy Holly will be going on tour soon, even though the former died in 1988 and the latter died in 1959. Rather than reanimating the actual Orbison and Holly, though, this tour will simply use holograms of the deceased stars, much like the Roy Orbison tour from last year and the upcoming Frank Zappa tour, both of which were hologram-based. This comes from Rolling Stone, which says the holograms will allow Orbison and Holly to go on concurrent North American and European legs of their rock and roll dream tour, which means that attendees not only will be seeing the real artists, but they also won't even be seeing one-of-a-kind incarnations of these holograms. The show features a live band, presumably composed of living human beings, as well as backup singers, probably human, and remastered audio from a machine, not a human. The tickets for these shows go on sale on March 29th. Now, is that something that you would go and see? Would you go see the holograms of Roy Orbison and Buddy Holly?
Probably not.
I don't think I would either. And the hologram thing they've been doing it a lot. They did Tupac. They did Michael Jackson. Didn't they do Michael Jackson?
Yes.
Yeah. So
I definitely remember Tupac, though.
Yeah.
That was a moment.
That was like for real. But now they're doing Roy Orbison and Buddy Holly. It seems a little weird to me. I don't know.
I can't. Well, you know. They're gone.
Yeah, maybe people can just like justify it by just saying, well, you know, it's like going to see a movie with them.
That's true.
With them performing. So,
but it was them at the time,
right?
You know, like they're actually filming. I would feel weird if I saw Nirvana on tour and there's Chris Novoselic balding,
yeah,
Dave Grohl, and then a hologram Kurt Cobain.
Yeah, that would be weird,
especially with those circumstances.
Yeah,
pretty tragic.
Yeah. So anyway, Roy Orbison, Buddy Holly, they're going on tour together, and tickets go on sale today. So get in line, everybody. Get in line because they're going to sell out quick. Where are they playing in Chicago? Can you look that up?
Yeah, I'm going to find it.
And what venue they're playing at? I'd be curious to see if they're playing Chicago, where they would play. All right. So that's one concert story that we're talking about. We got a few more. And out there right now with you guys, I want to have a conversation with you guys about your favorite concerts, your least favorite concerts, and the first concert that you ever went to. And here's Robert on WGN. Hey, Robert.
Hey, Mr. DiGiulio. You're going to love this one. Auditorium Theater, 1974, Frank Zappa and the Mothers of Invention.
That was your first show.
Very first one. First row balcony, second balcony, dead center. Frank Zappa had a blow-up doll, and he spread-eagled her and spun her around like a helicopter propeller on the mic, and people were walking out of the theater.
Yeah, that's Frank Zappa. You never know what you're going to get. All right.
My buddy walked out. He goes, I ain't paying to see this.
Yeah, I'm not paying to see this, but unfortunately, he already did. So that's the problem. All right,
he took the Milwaukee Avenue bus home because there was no blue light back then.
Yeah, so there you go. All right, thanks, Robert.
Thank you, man.
All right, there you go. That was his first concert, Frank Zappa at the Auditorium Theater. Did you find a venue? Are they playing Chicago?
Yeah, this is just European tour right now.
Oh, it's just European.
Yeah, so I mean they're doing the UK. This is the leg. You can buy these tickets now. and go to Dublin, Newcastle, Manchester.
Where do they have the venue that they're playing in Dublin?
Yeah, they're playing the Three Arena.
Oh my god! Oh my god! All right,
I'd love to see the people of Dublin.
Yeah, no, I actually went to a concert in Dublin when we went. When my ex-wife and I went to went to Ireland. We landed in Dublin. That was the first place that we went to, but we went all over the place in Ireland, from Southern all the way up to Belfast. So I'm trying to remember the name of the venue. It was very similar to, it was like similar in size to like the Metro, maybe a little bit bigger than what would be the Metro. It was in downtown Dublin. But what happened was, we were in Dublin when we first got there. We went to a pub, obviously. We went to a pub, and there were posters on the wall. And one of the posters was that they were playing in Dublin the last night of our trip. And it was Dinosaur Jr. and Built to Spill. So Built to Spill opening for Dinosaur Jr. And so Heather and I just went, well, because again, both of those bands, I love both those bands, and Dinosaur Jr. is one of my ex-wife's Heather's favorite bands of all time, and me too. I mean, I love Dinosaur Jr., one of my favorite bands of all time. So we were like, you know, and at that time, it was the night before the last day that we were going to be in Ireland before we came home. And so so we decided that we were going to cut one day out of our Belfast trip. So we were going to stay in Belfast for 2 days, but we ended up staying just one night so that we can go back to Dublin to see Dinosaur Jr. And Built to Spill. And we went. It was fantastic. It was fantastic. It was great. And the venue was really cool, too. So it was fun. I'd hear Steve on WGN. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, my first show was in a little theater at Knox College called Harbach, 1,200-seat venue, was the Ramones in 1977.
Oh, great.
It was loud.
Well, yeah, it's the Ramones, Steve.
And the worst was at Park West. It was Golden Earring and Scandal with a bunch of completely mullet 80 people.
Mm. All right. But
My favorite was Springsteen at Soldier Field.
Springsteen at Soldier Field. Okay, so, all right, thanks, thanks, Steve.
Hey.
Golden Earring and Scandal was the worst at the Park West. wow. All right.
That's too bad. I like Golden Earring.
Yeah, so do I. I like Scandal, too.
Not bad.
Rick is on WGN. Hi, Rick.
Hi, how are you?
All right.
Without a doubt, the best concert I ever went to was the Electric Light Orchestra in, 1977. They had the spaceship that went up.
I was there, right?
Came out of the floor in white tuxedos.
Yep, I was there.
They were unbelievable. Sounded just like the record, and they had the lasers going on you and all that. That was unbelievable.
Now, here's the thing. It's one of my favorite concerts that I've ever gone to. It was the Out of the Blue Tour, 1977, at the Chicago Stadium. One of the best shows I've ever seen, one of the greatest shows I've ever seen. And, Rick, I'm about to break your heart because that show was on tape.
Oh, yeah. I've seen versions of that.
No, Rick, they weren't playing music. The show was on tape.
Wait, really?
Oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I heard that they did a lot of that. But they couldn't make all the sounds from the record. Just like the record.
There's a reason why it sounded exactly like the record, Rick. I remember that. Here's the deal. When I went to see that show, I was like 12 years old. And Out of the Blue is what is. Thank you for the call, Rick. Out of the Blue is an unbelievable album. It's great, and I love ELO. The concert was unbelievable. The lasers, the whole thing, the big spaceship that opened up on some of the staging was incredible. And it did sound exactly like the record. It was just unbelievable. And so I see it in 1977. And then about 5 years later, I'm working at the Jewels with a friend of mine, and we're stocking shelves and we're having a conversation about the best concerts that we've ever seen. So we're talking about it. And I, of course, say ELO, 1977, Chicago Stadium. And he goes, "You realize that that they used a tape on that the music was on tape," and I was like, "What?" So he just like ruined a childhood like memory and told me that. And then I looked it up online, and not everything was on tape, but a lot of it was.
Hell, I wasn't even there and it's ruined my childhood.
Yeah. And good then they, Lord. You know, they just toured and they're still touring for Out of the Blue. And I understand that this time it's not on tape. Like, he's got a full orchestra and it's all, you know.
Well, thank you, Jeff Lynne.
And I love Jeff Lynne, man.
He's a great dude.
He's unbelievable. And Mr. Blue Sky is one of my favorite songs of all time.
And to
hear that, like, 6-7 years later, just casually, I'm working at Jewel and the guy goes, well, yeah, that was all on tape. And I was like, what?
And then he also turns to you. He's like, did you know Bubble Yum has spider eggs in it?
Spider eggs in it.
That's crazy.
While I'm chewing a piece of Bubble Yum. Thank you. You're ruining my taste experience and my memory of seeing ELO. I was lucky in that I got to see a lot of... I started going to concerts at a very young age. My first concert, I was 10 years old, and it was Black Oak, Arkansas. You familiar with Black Oak, Arkansas?
No.
Jim Dandy to the rescue.
Oh,
jeez. You know that song?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was their only hit. So they were the headliners, but the opening band was Bad Company before their first record came out.
That's pretty dope.
And nobody knew who they were. So I go with my parents. You know, my parents are like, all right, we'll take you to see these idiots, this Jim Dandy idiot in the, you know, the Black Oak, Arkansas. And so they take me, and my dad is a big fan of the band Free. You know, who did All Right Now and all that. And they had like 3 or 4 big hits. And the lead singer of Free is Paul Rogers. And so when Bad Company walked out, nobody knew who Bad Company was. It's, ladies and gentlemen, Bad Company. And we were like, who the hell is this? You know, we didn't know. All of a sudden they walk out. My dad sees Paul Rogers, starts going nuts. My dad's like, that's Paul Rogers. That's the guy from Free. And I'm like, what? So my dad's all excited. And of course, you know, Bad Company rules. And they just played their entire first album and they as the opening act.
Damn.
They were unbelievable. So that was my
just
first show.
What, like a full 30, 45 minutes?
Yeah, it was about 45 minutes for sure. And then...
Awesome.
And then, you know, and then when Black Oak, Arkansas came out, and it was just Black Oak, Arkansas. And I liked him. I liked him because I was 10. So, but anyway, so that was my first show. What was your first show?
My first show was, I didn't get to go to a proper, like, concert until I was about 14, 15 years old. And it was at the Tinley Park Amphitheater. And me... And
whatever they called it at that time.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Me and my two buddies, we went and saw... It was Journey was the headliner, but
Steve Perry
is the guy from like the Philippines or whatever.
Yeah, whose name was Steve.
Also Steve.
Yep. You know that they've had two lead singers after they let Steve Perry go.
All named Steve. Amazing.
Yeah.
But it was them, Heart.
Yeah.
And
Foreigner?
No. Cheap Trick.
Oh, well, Cheap Trick.
So I lost my mind because I listened to a ton of Cheap Trick. My mom loved Cheap Trick.
Yeah.
You know, Crystal Lake is like the halfway point kind of between Rockford and Chicago. So we always had a thing for Cheap Trick. And that was just a religious experience.
Cheap Trick might be the band I've seen the most of any band live.
I wish I could say that.
Actually, Dave is the one that I've seen the most live. But Cheap Trick, I've seen them. I can't tell you the number of times I've seen them. They're unbelievable.
We were 15, and the one thing everybody was saying to us was like, "Yeah, you guys must be the youngest people here. Yeah. I could be your dad."
Yeah, of course.
It was fun though.
Of course,
I had a great time.
Well, cool. That's a great one. We'll talk more about that. What do you guys think? What was your first concert? What was the worst concert? And what was the best concert you've ever been to? And we've got more concert stories to talk about here. 312-981-7200 for Talk and Text. Get in here and let's talk concerts, and we'll get back to it right after this. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studios here. And we're here till 5 a.m. It's Friday. That means all the regular Friday features will be coming up. Fly Jams Friday, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, and You Big Dummy, all coming up right here on 720 WGN. Also coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. All right, we are talking about concert. We have some concert stories that we're going to get to again, a little bit more of those. But while throughout this whole thing, we want to hear from you. What was the first concert that you ever went to? What was the worst concert? And what was the best? 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Talk and text. Speaking of texts, 301 area code says, favorite concerts, The Carpenters, Huey Lewis in the News, Miami Sound Machine, and Manhattan Transfer. All right. Victor from Chicago Heights says, my first was Steppenwolf. It was 1970. The worst was Led Zeppelin in the mid-70s, and the best was every Cramp show I ever saw. I'm assuming that Victor is talking about the 1977 Led Zeppelin tour. Because I saw Zeppelin in 75 and I saw him in 77. They were unbelievably amazing in 75 and they were terrible in 77 because everybody on stage except for John Paul Jones was blitzed. Page did most of the show from a folding chair. And for, you know, fans of Led Zeppelin, they were a very spotty band live.
Yeah.
You catch them on a bad night and they sucked. But the thing is, you know, like most of the time when they would come out, Robert Plant would come out and he would have a sealed bottle of Jack Daniels and he'd break the seal at the beginning of the show and start drinking it. That night that I went, because they would always play, they always play the Chicago Stadium when they came to town. They play at least 3-4 nights in a row. So I went. I think it was I went to the third show of the 1977 tour here, and he came out and it was a half empty bottle of Jack already. So, and they were and it was just ridiculous. And John Paul, I mean, obviously John Bonham drunk all the time,
which is really a shame because he's my favorite member.
Bonham.
Yeah, he's my main man.
He's one of the greatest drummers that ever lived. There's no question about it. But he was a lunatic.
Oh, absolutely.
He was a complete lunatic.
I mean, you don't die choking on your own puke.
Well, yeah. Well, lunatic. I mean, he drank what was it 4 liters of vodka?
Yeah, it was. It's depressing because the man could groove like no other.
Well, I mean, he was one of the greatest drummers ever of all time. But yeah, so I mean that you never knew what you were getting. It's like the Replacements. Like if you went to go see the Replacements at any time, and I've seen the Mats five, six times, and they, you know, if depending on how much they drank, depending on how much they drank, you know, those guys were drinkers, man.
Yeah,
and you know, I saw the Replacements one time at the Metro. It was one of the greatest shows I've ever seen in my life. And then I saw them at the Vic one time, and they were loaded, and it was terrible. So that was what they were known for. It was like, which Replacements are you going to get? You never know. Like, you show up at a Replacement show and it's going to be like, okay, we don't know what's going on here. Is it going to be good or are they going to be loaded?
And that's the thing that stinks is that I would take any at this point.
Oh, yeah. No. Even when they were drunk, I love them. I love them. One of my favorite bands of all time. But Jay says, hi, Nick. My first concert was the Fifth Dimension with my mom, my Aunt Margaret, and my cousin Karen around in the 60s. That must have been cool. I would like to have seen the Fifth Dimension. That would be cool, man. Best concert had to be Cher riding on the stage on an elephant in the 90s. Wait, she rode on an elephant to the stage? but my friend Scott went to go see Ted Nugent at the House of Blues at and Nugent came out on a giant real buffalo, like he rode out on a buffalo, like a big giant buffalo, like in the House of Blues, rides out on a buffalo, and he's going, I bet you didn't think you were going to see an effing buffalo. And so he comes out on the buffalo, and they get the buffalo off stage, and then he does the show. And he's like, you know, shooting flaming arrows at guitars and stuff. And he was like, yo, Mayor said that I couldn't have machine gun turrets on top of the speakers. And I said, F you. And I got my machine gun turrets. So so he's getting machine gun turrets. He comes out on a buffalo. So they so they do the show. And then the encore, he comes back out on the buffalo, which means the buffalo was backstage at the House of Blues, and I don't know, for an hour and a half, waiting to come back out for the encore. And I love that story. Just, it was a real buffalo, and my friend Scott was like, I've never seen anything like it. He actually rode out on a buffalo, and there was a dude behind the buffalo with a mop. It was just...
Oh, that was someone's job.
So there's a buffalo backstage during the entire show. They're just sitting there going, what the hell am I doing? I was out in a prairie 2 months ago. What the hell am I doing with this screaming idiot on my back, standing backstage, standing here, and I can't even move? There's no room back here? What's going on? Felt bad for the buffalo. Let's see. Jay also says, I do not know about the worst. I like the Go-Go's, REM, B-52s, and the Cranberries, too. So there you go. All right. I saw the Go-Go's open for the Police. That was one of my favorite shows ever.
Mm-hmm.
I saw the Police. It's another band I saw a bunch of times. Was the Police.
I tried to go. They did like a brief reunion tour sometime in the mid 2000s.
2007.
I remember. I was in seventh grade. And I was like, I really wanted to go, but it just didn't happen. I
went both nights at Wrigley. My favorite band. When I was in high school, the thing about the Police that I love so much is that they're my favorite band, one of my favorite bands of all time, and like very close to the top of my favorite band ever. But they were definitely my favorite band when I was in high school because their entire career lasted the 4 years that I was in high school. Their first album came out in 79. Their last album came out in 83. That's when I went to high school, 79 to 83. So my entire high school career was dominated by the Police. So, all right, let's take a break, and then we'll come back. Everybody hang on. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Best concert you ever seen, worst, and first. Those are always fun. First concert that you went to. 312-981-7200. And we'll come back with more after the news, which is coming up in just 9 seconds. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. And we are live in the Allstate Skyline studio. We're here till 5 o'clock. It's Friday. That means Fly Jams Friday. Straight out of context, Nick D. Show Spies. We're talking about some concerts. We have some concert topics to jump in here. But as we're talking, we want to hear from you. What was the first concert you ever saw? What was the worst concert you ever saw? And what was the best concert you ever saw? 312-981-7200 is the phone number. The phone lines are open. The text lines are open. We got some texts. I'll get to those in a minute, but let's talk to Brian on WGN. Hi, Brian.
Hello, Nick.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. What's up?
I like your dad over at Jewel. You know what? I got to tell you about Woodstock, okay? You know, I went there, and you know, I drove a whole bunch of people with us. We had beer, wine, we had it all. And, you know, at Woodstock, we saw tons of bands, but it was a lot of ton of rain, right?
Yeah.
And, I mean, it rained and it rained and rained. And Hendrix, he did not get there until, you know, like, early. We heard a helicopter dropping behind the stage, right? You could see it, right? And it was sunny and beautiful on a Monday morning. And, you know, we just couldn't believe it because most of the people had left.
Right.
Because they were all soaked.
Right. Well, that's the sort of the legend of it was that Hendrix gives this unbelievable performance and like half the crowd was gone. So, wow, that's incredible, Brian, that you went to Woodstock. That's really unbelievable. I know one other person that I've talked to that went to Woodstock that was actually at Woodstock. That's John Pettengill. Who is this great guitarist who plays a lot with Lindsey Cochran in the great moments of vinyl, and he tells great stories about going to Woodstock. And yeah, it rained; it was crazy, and lots of incredible bands, and it must have been amazing to be there. All right, Brian, thank you for the call. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Trucker Rich sends in a text that says, your Jim Dandy to the rescue brought me a nightmarish flashback to Black Oak, Arkansas. Yeah, he's told the story about being in Black Oak, Arkansas. So, let's see. 630 area code says, my first concert was in 1965 at the amphitheater. I was 15. It was the Beatles. Beat that one. 315 area code says, let's see. Steve saw the Eagles at the old Chicago Stadium. That was my first concert. But it was from the highest seats in the stadium. I saw the Eagles at Comiskey Park, the old Comiskey Park, but we left because I hate the Eagles. But I was there because Steve Miller opened for him, and I loved Steve Miller.
Yeah, Steve Miller's great.
And this was like before Steve Miller was, you know, doing the abracadabra and all that stuff. This was like early, like...
Yeah, this is like Fly Like an Eagle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I loved him. I will say this though, Steve Miller does have one of the worst rhymes in music history. It's in "Take the Money and Run," in which he rhymes this. It's one of the stupidest, worst rhymes ever. Which is, they went down to El Paso and ran into a great big hasso. So, not even bothering
legendary
this, and not even it's supposed to be hassle, and he says hasso. Yeah, that was Comiskey Park. It was, like they used to call those things like the World Series of Rock, and then like they would have outdoor shows at the Soldier Field. I went to a few of those, and that would be the, they called those the Super Bowl of Rock. Hey Nick, my first concert was April Wine, and the worst one was Ugly Kid Joe and Slaughter opening for Ozzy. People were tearing up the sod and throwing it at Slaughter and yelling for Ozzy. And there was too much alcohol and it was too hot. 301 area code says, I also saw Madonna in concert. She puts on a hell of a show. I've seen Madonna four times. She's great. Absolutely great. First concert was Peter, Paul, and Mary. Best was Garth Brooks, and the worst was Foghat. Oh, no. Dissing on the Foghat? Oh. Garth Brooks. You couldn't pay me to see Garth Brooks. 785 area, because my first concert was the Beach Boys and the Doobie Brothers at Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City around 1975. The best was Springsteen, also in Kansas City, and that was in 1980. All right. 312-981-7200 is the phone number, and we got some concert stories to talk about. Here's every musical. These are the 12 most awkwardly empty concerts ever. The website Ranker found these, and these were like really empty concerts, and it was very awkward. And here they are. It says every musical artist relies on touring to generate income most of the time, especially if it's an artist who has a hit on the charts. It's easy to fill a venue with fans wanting to see their favorite songs in person. Then again, sometimes things go the other way. When poor ticket sales, whether poor ticket sales, scalpers, or a general lack of interest in the artist is to blame, some musicians who once packed arenas got a dose of reality when they performed to almost nobody. Sure, some musicians get their start by paying clubs to tiny crowds, but showing up at a venue and having to perform in front of a small audience can be an embarrassing experience for an artist who might otherwise have no trouble pulling the crowd. And so we're going to take a look at some of the most embarrassingly empty shows ever performed. We're going to get into that. 312-981-7200 is the phone number, and I want to hear your first concert, your worst concert, or your best concert. But let's start this really quick. We'll do our first artist, Brandy in South Africa. In 2013, R&B singer Brandy was set to be a surprise performer at a 90,000 capacity stadium in South Africa, where an all-day event took place with a number of popular artists performed. But when concertgoers learned that there would be a surprise artist in attendance, they decided not to stick around to find out who it was. By the time Brandy went on stage, there were just 40 people left in attendance. 40. In a 90,000-seat venue. 40 people. An astonishingly low turnout at that gigantic stadium. Even a South African news crew that was broadcasting the event decided to pack it up and leave before the surprise was revealed. That's awful. Brandy performed to an empty stadium. With the stadium lights on, she sulked after two songs and walked off. Well, I don't blame her.
Yeah, I would probably turn it in.
Absolutely. Are you kidding? Well, so we got a whole bunch of people who are calling in. Are these people calling in with their first concerts?
First and best.
Here's Matt on WGN. Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, I am a longtime listener and fan of your show, Nick. First concert was Elvis Costello and the Attractions at Poplar Creek in 1984. Mm. And my favorite was Elvis Costello and the Attractions at the Riviera Theater in 1986 on the Blood and Chocolate tour.
Yeah, I was there. I was at that one. Oh. Yeah, it was an unbelievable show.
Were you at the third night or
I can't remember which night I was at, but I know I went on, I saw it on that tour, so.
Oh yeah, it was awesome. Can I give you two other favorite ones?
Go ahead.
Real quick. Joe Jackson at Poplar Creek 1986 mm-hmm. and Squeeze at the Riviera 1987.
I was at the Squeeze show.
Really?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, that was another great one.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right, Matt, thank you.
Cool.
Okay.
Oh, you're welcome, Nick.
Take care, buddy. All right, here's John. Best, worst, and first concerts is what we're talking about. Hi, John.
Okay. Hello. Best concert was David Bowie's Serious Moonlight. I think it was 1983. Great concert, great staging, great everything. It was taped for HBO and shown a lot.
Right.
So I'm pretty sure it's available on DVD.
Yeah, no, I've seen it several times. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, John.
Thanks.
All right. 312-981-7200. You know, I never got to see Bowie. Never got to see him.
Big regret for me.
Yeah.
Because I worshipped him.
Yeah. Well, he was amazing. I would have to say that, you know, like my first concert was like I said, Black Oak Arkansas opening, Bad Company opening. Worst concert might have been that Zeppelin show in 77, because that was just so disappointing. Because they were, I mean, you know, they were at the height of their popularity. Physical Graffiti, I believe, had just come out. Or Presence. Presence had just come out. The best show, one of the best shows I've ever seen. I mentioned the Police. Police were always great live. Cheap Trick, great every single time.
Oh, yeah.
They're just as good now as they were in 1977. They're unbelievable. They're unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to say, again, I've seen a ton of shows and a lot of great concerts. But I got to say, Prince on the Purple Rain tour was probably maybe the best show I've ever seen. And I've seen Prince. I saw Prince about five, six times. But that Purple Rain tour was unbelievable. Unbelievable. So, all right, why don't we take a quick break? Everybody hang on, all right? We got a couple of phone lines open. If you want to get in here with a text, we're talking about your favorite concerts, your least favorite concerts, and your first concert, reminiscing a little bit about that. And then we'll get back to some of these awkwardly empty concerts ever where Brandy had to play in front of 40 people in a 90,000-seat stadium. That's so, so sad. 312-981-7200, talk and text. Tuesday night, as soon as the polls close, turn to WGN-TV. Complete election coverage, all the results and reactions, along with expert analysis. Watch your vote count starting Tuesday night at 7 on WGN-TV. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studio here on a Friday morning. All the regular Friday features will begin later on. We'll start it off with You Big Dummy, and then Straight Outta Context, Nick D Show Spies, and then Fly Jams Friday. We also have a Blackhawks Express to play, and it's probably about 8 hours long, considering that 9 goals were scored during the game. So we'll play that back a little bit later on. 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you would like to talk or text. We are talking about some concert topics, one of which is the most awkwardly empty concerts ever. Brandy played for 40 people in a stadium that had 90,000-seat capacity. And we've got other awkward, empty concerts that we're going to talk about. But that also got me thinking, you know, just about concerts, reminiscing, having some fun here. What was the first concert you ever went to? What was the best concert you ever went to? And what was the worst concert you ever went to? 312-981-7200. Here's Carrie on WGN. Hi, Carrie.
Hey, morning, Nick. Morning. Hey, I've got a first, which was also one of the weirdest, and then I've got a best, one of the best. The first, I think it was probably the first big concert I ever went to, and this is before he got really, really famous. It was Johnny and the Leisure Suits. It was Brandmeier.
Oh, sure.
But it was 84. So it was a couple years before he started like selling out Poplar Creek in like
right.
3 minutes when it went really insane.
Right.
And it was at Festa Italiano, which they used to have at Olive Park, which
right.
used to be right next to Navy Pier, when Navy Pier wasn't what anybody knows Navy Pier as it is now.
Right.
And he wasn't even the headliner, because the headliner was a guy named Al Martino. I guess he was like an Italian
yeah.
crooner.
Yeah, I remember Al Martino. Yep.
Oh, yeah. I knew the name. I don't think I've ever heard. But so Johnny played right before this guy. And, of course, there's like, again, he was building up. He was already becoming kind of his fan base, you know, was getting crazy. And so there's probably like 6,000 people in this space that was meant to hold like 2,000 or 3,000 people outside. And as we're leaving, all these drunken Brandmeier fans are, you know, singing "We're Not Leaving Till We're Heaving" and all this stuff. And there's all these horrified, old, very nicely dressed
yeah, right.
older Italian
right.
couples, like, trying to figure out what is going on here.
Yeah.
So it was a great show. It was one of my first. And then one of my best, and I think it was one of the better ones because I had no expectations. I saw Van Halen in 2005 at the United Center. And we were downtown for a work thing, so somebody I worked with, she's like, why don't we go see Van Halen? She's a big fan, so am I. And I'm like, well, who's singing? Because, you know, that was in the middle of, you know, they had the guy from Extreme and Sammy was gone.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, sure, why not? We're down here. Let's go see him. And actually, they patched it up with Sammy for a very brief period of time. And also, Van Halen, as you know, could be a band that if Eddie was hammered, then the
yep.
show sucked.
Yep.
And so Sammy sang, and Eddie was sober. So it was just awesome again, I think because I had so little expectations, it was really cool. And I'm like, oh, Sammy's here. Oh, and Eddie's sober.
So
it was a really great show.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Kerry.
Thanks, Nick.
All right. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. First concert, worst concert, best concert. We've got some other fun concert stories to jump into here. But we do want to hear from you. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. Here's Doug on WGN. Hi, Doug.
Hi, how you doing?
All right.
Two concerts. I went to see Springsteen one Friday or Saturday night in Chicago at Soldier's Field, and the following weekend was the better of the two concerts. So it was a sock hop. It was the opening of the Rock and Roll McDonald's on Ontario and Wells, and it was Chuck Berry.
Oh, wow.
And Chuck Berry was, I could have reached out and grabbed his guitar. That's how close I was. There was only about 50 people at this sock hop.
Mm-hmm. Chuck Berry, a legend. All right, Doug, thanks.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about Chuck Berry was that it was so hilarious. Chuck Berry would walk into a venue. He'd do this all the time. He would walk into a venue, he'd have his guitar, walk in with his guitar, go straight to the manager of the venue, get paid in cash. He'd get an envelope of cash, make sure he got paid, put the money away. He'd go on stage. He would have them provide the band. Whatever the venue was, they would provide the band. He would not rehearse with the band. He would show up literally 5 minutes before curtain. He'd walk in, and he'd walk in with his guitar, get the money, always paid in cash, get the money. Once he got the money, put the money away, go on stage, play the concert, you know, and the band would have to follow along. He'd play the concert. Concert would end. Get his guitar, boom, walk right out the front door. And that's how Chuck Berry worked for many, many, many years. A friend of mine went to go see him at Cubby Bear and said that, you know, everybody's, the place is pretty packed. Obviously, it's pretty packed because, you know, Chuck Berry's a legend. So people are in there. They're all waiting for Chuck Berry. And, you know, and so it's like literally right before he's scheduled to go on. They had like an opening act and, you know, whatever. And my buddy was there and he looked out the window and he saw a Cadillac pull up right at Addison and Clark. Cadillac pulled up. Chuck Berry got out of the car, a guitar case in his hand, walked through the venue, the crowd, went backstage for a couple of minutes. Comes out, does the show. You know, about like an hour and 15 minutes, does the show. Obviously, it's Chuck Berry, so it's all hits. Finishes the show, says thank you, and then he walks through the venue, gets back in the Cadillac, and leaves. And that's what Chuck Berry did.
Man, it's real lucky that he got that call from his cousin.
Yeah, that's right.
Marvin Berry?
Marvin, yeah. Jamie from East Troy. Oh, he's from East Troy, so Alpine Valley.
Love it.
Because that's in East Troy. My first concert was Queen at the stadium in 1976. That's another band that I regret I've never seen. And a couple of my friends went to see them. Queen headlining. This is just ridiculous that I didn't go to this show. Queen headlining, Thin Lizzy opening. Ridiculous. It was a life changer. I've been a huge Queen fan ever since. I was lucky to have seen them with Freddie Mercury several times. That's really great. That's very impressive. It's a huge regret not having ever seen Queen. I guess the worst concert was the Babies, who opened for Journey in the 70s. They got booed off the stage, and Journey was great. That makes me sad because I like the Babies. The Babies are great. I love John Waite. Yeah, Journey in the 70s or early 80s. You're not going to get, you know, that's fantastic. First concert was the Beach Boys. Best concert was Buffett. Fleetwood Mac together, and then the worst was Ted Nugent. We walked out. It was horrible. You didn't like the Buffalo?
I saw Fleetwood Mac with my dad. That was my best concert.
Yeah.
And it was the last. It was.
Was Lindsey Buckingham with him?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It was everybody. Christy McVie had come back.
No kidding.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It was all of them. And then I also saw Pixies around the same time when Kim Deal was still.
Oh, yeah.
It was when they did the Doolittle. Like, they played the whole thing, the B-sides. It was awesome.
I saw them in the heyday. I saw Pixies in the heyday.
So good.
Yeah. Amazing band. Here's Dan, the Snowman. Hey, Dan, go ahead.
Hey, Nick. How are you, buddy?
All right. What's up?
Long time no talk. Just headed to the airport, going to work. That's all.
All right. Well,
just checking you out. I popped in the truck and hearing you're going for concerts. How cool. Yeah, Kiss and Uriah Heep, man. My mom took me. How killer was that?
Yeah.
it was killer. Uriah Heep blew me away. And, of course, I was a big Kiss fan at 10 years old or 11 years old.
Sure.
That was 76. And, of course, at the old barn. And what a killer place to see a show that was.
Well, I saw Kim. I must have been at that show because I saw Kiss during that time period probably five times, always at the stadium.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they came back. And then they were there one year with the Rockets. And remember, they got booed off. The Rockets got booed off. And I think that was for Destroyer. I think that was the year before for Destroyer. And I went to see them for Rock and Roll All Over. But, that was killer. Killer. Yeah. And then I heard you talking about that, about the Queen show. That was 2 weeks later at the stadium on a Friday. And I saw that show, too. And, boy, was that. That was better than the Kiss show. I mean,
well, yeah.
Thin Lizzy for Jailbreak and Queen for A Day at the Races was just unbelievable. Yeah, that was crazy. It was crazy, man.
Yeah,
great right. show.
Thanks, Dan.
All right, buddy.
All right, take
I just
care.
Want to reach in and talk to you.
All right,
take care, buddy.
All right, 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you would like to join us. Let's see. 630 area, because the worst concert ever was Jackson Browne at Ravinia in 1978. The warm-up band was his backup band, and he only played about an hour. He looked and acted bored the whole time. I've heard a lot of bad things about Jackson Browne live. Not a huge Jackson Browne fan, but I've heard that, you know, that's another one of those guys who you never know what guy you're going to get. So, all right, let's break here. We got the news coming up, and then more concert talk, and 312-981-7200 for talk and text right here on WGN. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio, and we are here until 5 a.m. It's Friday morning. All the regular features will be coming up. You Big Dummy, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, and, of course, Fly Jams Friday. We have a very exciting Blackhawks Express to play from last night's game. That's all coming up, and we're talking concerts right now, and I've got some more awkwardly empty concerts to share those stories, but I also want to hear from you with talk or text at 312-981-7200. We're talking about your first concert and your worst concert and the best concert that you ever saw. 312-981-7200. Tom, what was the best concert you've ever seen?
So Fleetwood Mac was definitely up there because it was with my dad.
Yeah.
And that was one of the last concerts I got to go to with him
because mm-hmm.
He passed away just a few years later.
Oh.
But recently I saw My Bloody Valentine at the Riviera.
Yeah.
And it was the only concert I've ever gone to where I actually wore earplugs.
Yeah. No, they're loud.
Yeah, they're the loudest band I've ever heard. Like, I took them out for just a moment just to see what that was like. It was like it put me into an actual trance.
Yeah,
but it was amazing. They did a great job.
Yeah, I saw them back in the heyday.
Oh, jeez.
You know, the loudest concert. You want to know the loudest concert I've ever seen?
Yeah.
Now I've
yeah.
seen Metallica. I don't know, 6-7 times. I've seen Anthrax. I've seen a lot of heavy. I saw Sabbath. I've seen Sabbath. You know, a bunch of times.
Mm-hmm.
But the loudest concert that I've ever seen in my life was Duran Duran.
Yeah, I remember
because,
you tell me.
Because they had to play the music over the nonstop screaming. Because this was in 86 or 85, like at the height of their popularity.
Yeah, total peak.
And it was nothing but teenage girls who would not stop screaming the entire show. I mean, it was like a high-pitched screaming, thousands of girls screaming for an hour and a half. And so they had to play above the din of that.
Yeah.
And so it was the loudest concert I've ever seen in my life. So, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Here's Ron on WGN. Hi, Ron.
Hi, Nick. Nick, a couple of empty concerts that I saw. One was Nitty Gritty Dirt Band when I was stationed at Fort Riley, Kansas.
Uh-huh.
It was me and my wife and about a dozen University of Kansas students who were jeering the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band. But they were really great. They played their whole concert. And it was they played it for us, okay,
because
we were the ones who were clapping. But it was really neat. And another empty concert was Ricky Nelson and the Stone Canyon Band. They were playing at one of the last shows of the sports. Remember the sportsmen's shows they had at the amphitheater?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, and Ricky Nelson and his band were playing, and I loved them, you know, but, you know, nobody else even noticed that they were playing. And a couple of, one concert that I saw was Janis Joplin at the Cheetah with my girlfriend, and Janis, she came up there with a bottle of Southern Comfort, and she was, drinking that bottle all through the concert. And she, you know, she pulled up her dress during the concert, and I was dancing right up in front. And man, she didn't have any underpants on. She was so sweet, and she was just beautiful.
Yeah.
But,
all right, Ron. Thanks for the call.
You're welcome, Rick.
All right, yeah, Janis Joplin. There you go. Let's see. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We got more texts here. If you want to jump in, 630 area code says Morrissey is another concert. You never know what you're going to get. 40 minutes at Tinley, and it sucked. But then 2 hours and Smith songs at the Auditorium made up for it. Yeah, that's another thing about Morrissey. Morrissey sometimes doesn't even show up. Morrissey is notorious for not even showing up for concerts, for canceling at the last minute or not even showing up. Yeah, he really is one of those guys that you never know what you're going to get. You have no idea what you're going to get. First concert was REO Speedwagon and Survivor, 1984, at the Rockford Metro Center. favorite concert? Wow, so many, but I'll have to say Monsters of Rock with Kingdom Come, Dokken, Metallica, Scorpions, and Van Halen from 1987. And the worst was System of a Down. They were boring. 773 area code says, Jethro Tull, Chicago Stadium, they sold beer to anyone. I saw Jethro Tull at the stadium 3 times. One time I went, and they were great. I mean, Jethro Tull is another band that I've seen a bunch of times. And Ian Anderson, one of my favorite frontmen, one of the most entertaining frontmen ever. And one of the times I saw him at the stadium, some dude threw a bottle at Ian Anderson on the stage, and it shattered like right in front of him, almost hit him in the head. And so Ian Anderson, like, you know, stopped and said, you know, we're not playing until, and he's swearing, we're not playing until that beep is thrown out. So the spotlight guy swings over this. It came out of the balcony. This was at the Chicago Stadium. It came out of the balcony. The spotlight guy swings over and puts a spotlight on the dude. And then a whole bunch of people from the crowd grab him, just start beating the crap out of him. So there's like, you know, the guy who threw the bottle, they put the spotlight on him. Crowd goes nuts. They beat the crap out of the guy. And then Jethro Tull started playing again. That was very memorable. Very memorable. 708 area code says, my first concert was Elton John. I was 10 years old. The best concert was McCartney at Soldier Field. The worst was Chicago. Okay. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Here's Mike on WGN. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, morning, Nick.
Hi.
Yeah, first concert was Frank Marino, Mahogany Rush.
Yeah, they used to play. They used to play every week.
Yeah, they were great. I loved them, you know.
Yeah.
But there was a Day in the Park at Comiskey, 1978, where you also had, Foreigner came on that day, AC/DC, which that was their height, you know, with Bon Scott before they sucked, because they sucked longer than they're good, and Aerosmith, and they sucked, because they were all drunk.
Yeah.
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 But,
yep, that's a good lineup, though.
It is. Like I say, Frank Marino, Mahogany Rush, and AC/DC were the... I was right next to Bon Scott because he came out with Angus Young on his shoulders in the outfield, and I was right next to him when they were playing the Jack.
Mm.
So,
all right.
But I also saw, Foghat and Blue Oyster Cult together at my last concert at the Old Amp. And the best one, who I loved the greatest, was at T.J. Flaherty's, Leslie West, because he put on a show.
Was he just by himself? Was Papalardi there or no?
Papalardi was dead. This was like early 90s.
Wow.
Yeah, just Leslie West, and I'll tell you what, he played great.
Yeah. All right, you got to love a fat guitarist.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Mike, thanks, man.
All right, take care.
312-981-7200 is the phone number. If you want to jump in. So here are some of the other ones. We talked about some of these awkwardly empty concerts. The first one we talked about was Brandy in South Africa. 40 people in the crowd. The stadium holds 90,000. 40 people in the crowd. Now here's another one. Carly Rae Jepsen in Toronto. This happened in 2014. A 2014 charity event in Toronto featuring pop singer Carly Rae Jepsen turned out to be a complete disaster. What was the song that she sang?
She did Call Me Maybe.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay. It turned out to be a complete disaster. The event, which was held at David's Tea as part of their Cup of Warmth campaign, was supposed to involve donating a cup of tea to charity for every cup of tea sold to attendees. The company's goal was reportedly to sell 30,000 cups of tea. But by the time the event ended, just 20 cups of tea were sold, meaning only 20 people showed up to support the cause and see Jepsen perform. The singer was a trooper, however, smiling at photographs with fans who showed up and posting, actually even posting one to her Instagram. 20 people.
That's tough.
That's, yeah, well, I mean, it's nice that she performed, though.
Yeah, and she's Canadian, too.
Is she?
Yeah.
You would think they would come out for in Toronto.
Yeah, come on, eh?
Carly Rae Jepsen. That's kind of a weird gimmick, though. Hey, everybody buy a cup of tea. Maybe, what if people don't drink tea? Maybe other people show up and are like, I'm not going to go. I don't like tea.
Can I get a Pepsi?
Yeah. Weird. How about this? Kanye West in Missouri in 2013. Well, why wouldn't people show up for a Kanye West show?
I don't know.
I mean, this was before he's completely lost his mind, right?
I don't know. So it's 2013, right?
Yeah,
so
I mean, he was an idiot in 2013, but he wasn't a lunatic like he is now.
No, but this was when he did Yeezus, which is it's a harsh album. I love Yeezus.
Yeah.
You know, I separate the dude from the music. I love Yeezus, but that was not for everybody.
Yeah.
It really wasn't. And he's not going to play well in Missouri. Not down there.
In 2013, Kanye West played the 19,000 seat Sprint Center in Kansas City, Missouri, but fans did not come through. A review of the show revealed that just about 4,500 people showed up for the show. The most shocking aspect of Kanye West's spectacular concert Tuesday night at the Sprint Center wasn't just the suspect remark from the brash rapper, said Bill Brownlee, who reviewed the show at the time, but the meager attendance of less than 4,500 seemed inconceivably small for one of the most vital artists in popular music. West almost certainly could have filled the Sprint Center 5 years ago. I'm surprised he just didn't walk off the stage, knowing his reputation and his ego. Wow. All right. Call us up or text us right now. What was your worst or your first concert? Do we have weather?
Yeah, I got it right here.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, we're going to do the weather here. We'll take a break, and then we'll come back. We want to talk more about this. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. And here's your weather. It's from the WGN Chicago Weather Center. Today, mostly cloudy, breezy, cool, with a high in the mid to upper 40s inland, and then readings in the 30s along the lakefront. Locally, heavy rain with embedded thunderstorms overnight, possibly changing to wet snow by morning. For Saturday, cloudy, windy, colder, rain, wet snow overnight. For Sunday, sunny, mostly cool, afternoon highs in the middle 40s. And Monday, temperatures back to warm up to the lower 50s with abundant sunshine. Current temperatures, 44 degrees at O'Hare, 46 at Midway, 41 at the lakefront. All right, we'll take a quick break. Phone lines are open. Text lines are open. First concert, worst concert, best concert. And we've got some more concert stories to talk about as well. Hey, you know the best part of being an adult. You know what the best part of being an adult is, right? You don't have to wait for the bunny to bring you Anderson's Candy Shop's marshmallow eggs. You can hop over and treat yourself anytime. Crispy Nests, chocolate bunnies, and marshmallow eggs are all back, those sweet, fluffy, chocolate-flavored covered miracles, the ones that you wait for all year long. Each marshmallow egg is made from scratch and hand-dipped in Anderson's famous milk or dark chocolate. The result is the most fluffy, melt-in-your-mouth, delicious marshmallow eggs that you will ever have. Anderson's is located on Main Street in downtown Richmond and Barrington. Plus, while you're in the shop, you can sample Anderson's other triumphs, like cream-filled eggs and flavors like maple nut, peanut, butter, and marzipan. Don't wait for the bunny. Call Anderson's at 888-214-7614 and have your candy shipped today. That's 888-214-7614 or andersonscandyshop.com, no matter how you justify it, to find out what the bunny already knows. Nothing beats these treats. Yeah. Bad Company. Technically, the first band I ever saw live was Bad Company at the old Auditorium Theater. 312-981-7200. More concert talk here, and we got some awkwardly empty concerts, and we would love to hear from you. Best, worst, first concerts, 312-981-7200. That's another thing that I've talked about before, Tom. There's a little phenomenon. That's Bad Company by Bad Company from the album Bad Company.
Produced by Bad Company.
There's also Black Sabbath by Black Sabbath from the album Black Sabbath. There's also Talk Talk by Talk Talk on the album Talk Talk. And then there's one that you can kind of bend the rules a little bit, and that's Big Country by Big Country from the album Big Country. But the thing is, parenthetically, the song is actually called Inna, parenthetically, Big Country. So, all right, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Here's Tim on WGN. Go ahead, Tim.
Hey, Nick, how are you?
All right.
Hey, good addition to your program with Tom. He's doing a great job.
He's great.
I missed Mr. Shagrew, of course, but hey, good to have Tom on board. It's wonderful.
Absolutely.
So the first concert I went to, I'm guessing it was the early 80s when I was a kid, and my dad traveled for work a fair amount. And so my mom was involved with the Girl Scouts along with my sister. And so I would often go to the various activities with the Girl Scouts, and one of those activities happened to be the Pointer Sisters. I don't remember much about the concert other than, like, it was either smoke or haze on the stage, and three ladies up there singing, and I remember I've heard that song on the radio before.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, well, that's Pointer Sisters, there you go.
What year would that be about, you think? Because I was born in 74, so...
I mean, if it was probably the mid-80s, it was probably when I'm So Excited was out.
Yeah, that's it.
It was probably like 84, 85, something like that.
Okay, yeah, so it was like 9 or 10. That makes sense. Okay. Yeah, sure.
Okay, Tim, thanks, man.
Okay, thanks, Nick.
Pointer Sisters, that's pretty cool. By the way, coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. It's coming up in just a few minutes. Okay, one more awkward and empty concert. And again, if you guys want to jump in here, talk or text 312-981-7200, worst, first, and best concert. How about this? The London Philharmonic Orchestra in Munich in 2016. So in 2016, the London Philharmonic Orchestra, arguably one of the most well-known orchestras in existence, performed a concert at the Gastig Concert Hall in Munich, Germany, as part of an ongoing concert series that brought performers to the hall. By the time the show began at the 2,300-seat venue, less than 150 people were in attendance. The poor attendance was blamed on Munich's Oktoberfest, which was happening in the city at the time. The orchestra's conductor, Vladimir Jurowski, was reportedly so confused by the low attendance that he thought he'd walked through the wrong door when he walked on stage. There's got to be the wrong room, right? I mean... With the Philharmonic Orchestra, talking about here?
That's tough booking, though.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you've got the Oktoberfest in Germany, in Munich.
Oh.
You're not going to draw a crowd. Everybody's going to be at the Oktoberfest in Munich.
You should play the Oktoberfest.
That's right. All right. I've got, like, the 15 greatest concert tours of all time. Let me ride through a few of these. Number 15, they say 1966, the Bob Dylan World Tour from 1966. Is one. Number 14 on the list here of the greatest tours of all time is Kate Bush, The Tour of Life from 1979. I've seen Kate Bush. I didn't see her on that tour, but she was great. Number 13, Queen, The Magic Tour from 1986. It's interesting that they chose that tour and not an earlier one. Interesting, because that was after the Live Aid performance.
Yeah.
That was right after the Live Aid performance when they were kind of... Because that Live Aid performance put them back on the map. They were kind of not really... vital at that time.
And there was another legendarily bad Led Zeppelin performance there.
Yeah, oh God.
So much so that it's cut out of, like, they asked it to cut out of the DVD.
It was terrible. I watched that whole thing. I was the only one who had cable in the neighborhood of my friends. So everybody came over to my house and we watched Live Aid the whole day. Watched the whole thing. Number 12 is the Clash Combat Rock Tour 1982. I saw that one and I agree. Number 11 on the best tour is Lollapalooza 92. I would have to... That was one of the best Lollapaloozas I went to. It was the Chili Peppers. It was Ice Cube, Pearl Jam, Soundgarden. Oh my God! Yeah, no, it was an incredible. It was an incredible lineup. And then Sex Pistols American Tour 1978. God, I would have loved to have gone to that. Oh man, that would have been amazing. Number 9 on this list of the greatest tours of all time, David Bowie, the Ziggy Stardust Tour 72-73. That would have been absolutely amazing. And number 8 on the list is Prince and the Revolution, the Purple Rain Tour, 1984-85. So I'm twice on that tour. It was ridiculous. Number 7, Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band, the Darkness Tour from 1978, they chose that tour. It's amazing when you talk about, like, best concerts that people have seen, how often Bruce Springsteen comes up. I wish I liked Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm not a fan.
I wouldn't count myself among his biggest fans, but there's some songs.
Yeah.
There's some real cuts.
Yeah, but you know, Springsteen is funny because I've mentioned in the past that I don't like Bruce Springsteen, and people are like, it's because you haven't seen him live. Because he's unbelievable live. And I'm like, well, is he going to play Bruce Springsteen songs? Yeah. Well, then why would I like it? Just because he's playing songs that... I'm gonna like songs that I don't like just because he's performing them live? I don't think so.
I mean, there's a whole nother conversation there of songs that are better live.
Yeah. Well, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But honestly, yeah, it's not going to change anything really that much.
Here are the rest of them. Number 6 is The Who Tour 1970. Number 5, The Jimi Hendrix Experience, the first UK tour in 1967. Number 4, Madonna, Who's That Girl World Tour 1987. Went to that, and it was awesome. Number 3, Grateful Dead, spring of 1977. Number 2, Michael Jackson, the Bad World Tour, 87 to 89. And then finally, number 1, and this is a real shocker, the Beatles U.S. Tour, 1965, considered the best tour of all time.
Hmm.
So, that's a real shocker.
Hmm.
All right, we're going to take a break here for the news, and then after the news, we'll jump into our regular Friday feature, starting off with You Big Dummy. It's coming up right after this.
You big dummy, see what you did?
Oh no, you big dummy.
You dummy!
Yeah. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5, the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. It's Friday. That means all the Friday features are back. Starting off with You Big Dummy, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, and Fly Jams Friday. But this is You Big Dummy! This is where we take 5 real news stories about real dumb people doing real dumb stuff. We read them, and then we recap, and then we vote. I'm going to vote, then Tom's going to cast his first vote ever for You Big Dummy, and then we'll open up the phone lines after we do the recap, and the first person who gets through will be our third vote. So let's get going. Dummy number one. An Ohio man pulled over for a traffic stop was caught with cocaine in his sock and then told police, "These aren't my socks." According to Austin Town Police reports, Damian K. Clark Jr., 20, was pulled over just before 4:30 a.m. on Saturday for allegedly failing to use his right turn signal. The officer said he smelled raw marijuana coming from inside the vehicle. Loose raw marijuana was found on the floorboard. During a search, officers found a small plastic bag of suspected cocaine inside his left sock. Clark then said, "Those aren't my socks." After Clark was taken into custody, they found other stuff in front of his car. There was a white powder substance with a torn plastic bag in his front shirt. Police said he asked officers to throw away the evidence, claiming, "Someone gave me the pills to hold. We were at a party." Loose marijuana was found in the back of his shirt. My God. When Clark arrived at the county justice center, police seized $740 found on him along with a cell phone. They also found a pill in his left sock. He forgot it was in there. Clark now faces charges of conveying drugs and drug abuse.
One dummy ain't enough in this house. You gotta bring home super dummy. But if you and Rollo gonna be in the movie, I got the perfect name for it. Super Dummies.
Dummy number two. Dummy number two. Dummy number two. After paying $500 for what he thought would be a sexual encounter at a Days Inn motel, a Florida man called cops to complain that he had been ripped off. John Omar Sengel, 50, dialed 911 last Friday evening to report that, quote, he had paid for sexual activities he had not received. According to a West Palm Beach Police Department, when contacted by the police, Sengel said, began to make incriminating statements, prompting Officer Gregory McDonald to read him his rights. After saying that he understood his Miranda warning, Sengel continued his tale of woe. Sengel said that he was offered the four occupants of another motel room $500 in order for one of them to come to his room and have sexual relations with him, quote unquote. At this point, McDonald clarified with Sengel that he was admitting to soliciting another person for sex. Sengel reportedly confirmed that this was exactly what he had done. Continuing, Sengel, man, this guy needs to shut up. Sengel said that he called police because, quote, after giving the individuals the money, they did not come to his room to engage in aforementioned sexual relations. Sengel subsequently arrested for soliciting prostitution, a misdemeanor. He's now free on $500 bond. He pled not guilty, and he's scheduled for an arraignment on April 29th. Police report does not identify the four inhabitants of the other motel room or why they were receptive for a cash for sex transaction.
There's something for you right here. Want it. Dummy. Won't be long before we'll hear the pitter-patter of tiny dummies around the house.
Dummy number three. Dummy number three. Dummy number three. The shocker. This is out of Florida, too. You'll notice that, Tom, that this is a pattern when we do You Big Dummy. State of Florida well represented in this segment. We don't want to dump on Hardee's, but how bad is it to work there if you'd make up a crime and report it to 911 just to get out of working your shift? Thing is, it worked for one Florida man. According to the Polk County Sheriff's Office, 32-year-old Brian Anderson of Dundee, a town in the Lakeland-Winter Haven area of Florida, called the emergency-only number on Saturday to report that two armed men robbed him of his necklace, money, and phone while he was standing near an intersection off of Highway 27. In a snarky Facebook post, the sheriff's department said Brian of Dundee called 911 to report an armed robbery and reiterated that he said the suspects allegedly took and escaped in a car. Deputies quickly responded along with air and canine. That's a heck of a story, right? Well, aside from the first part and the last sentence, it's not true. He did it to get out of his work at Hardee's.
I'll spell it for you. D-U-M-M-Y, period. Dummy.
Dummy number four. Dummy number four. Dummy number four. Police are looking for a man caught on camera stuffing a four-foot snake down his pants at a pet store in Rockwood on Wednesday, March 20th. Surveillance video at the I Love My Pets at the I Love My Pets store shows the man reaching into the python's cage before putting it in his pants and casually walking away. Store employees say the python had just been adopted and was getting ready to go to its new home on the same day when it was stolen. The last thing we were expecting was to check the video and take a closer look and see a man putting it down the front of his pants. We were not expecting that at all, says employee Callie McElroy. We couldn't fathom that way someone would sneak a snake out of a big store like that. Anyone with information is asked to contact the Rockwood Police Department.
La-dee-dee, they la-dee-dum is dummy. As Donna and me, and the dummy makes three.
Dummy number five, dummy number five, la la la. Thieves once attempted to siphon gas from a bus, but got a nasty surprise. They instead had tapped into the sewage tank. The unidentified thieves spotted a parked bus in Laverton, Australia at night, reported the Daily Mail some years ago, but the story this week has gone viral again, perhaps because of the instant karma nature of the story, because so many people have been victims of gas siphoning. When they attempted to siphon the gasoline, they got instead a mouthful of raw sewage. Police discovered the mix-up when they saw a cap next to the bus. None of its gas was stolen. We can infer that they beat a very hasty retreat with somewhat bitter taste in their mouth, said the police spokesperson. He added that police have absolutely zero interest in recovering what the thieves what the thieves took from the bus. But he said officials are still looking for the offenders. They say that Western Australia was hoping for that word of mouth would help crack the case. Police in Laverton also tweeted about the incident. Hey, only in LA, we're looking for this one and following our nose for some leads, hoping to crack the case. It's not clear if the thieves have been caught. The police force in Western Australia cracked a joke asking if they should carry out random breath tests to help capture the subject.
Have you ever seen him act?
I've been watching him act all his life. Like a dummy.
All right. Let's quickly vote. Let me do a recap here. We'll vote, and then we'll have a dummy, and we'll take a break. Dummy number one was the dummy who had cocaine in his socks and claimed that they weren't his. The dummy who called 911 to complain about being ripped off by a prostitute. The dummy who called 911 to get out of his shift at Hardee's. The dummy who stuffed a snake down his pants, and the dummies who siphoned bus sewage tank instead of the gas tank. All right, Tom, what are you thinking?
I think it's pretty clear. It's the guy who complained about getting ripped off for prostitution.
Oh, that's what you're going with.
Honestly, yeah. I think that's just when they read him his Miranda rights, and then he just continues.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's,
he's like, the, oh yeah, that's cool. No, I'm going to continue with my.
If
complaint.
We're basing it on really the dumbest. That clearly is the dumbest.
He clearly had no idea what was going on.
Yeah. All right. First person to call in here, you will be our third vote. I like the, you know, we've had, it's been a common story on our show, on our segment here, of people stuffing snakes down their pants. We've probably had that story a few times of guys stuffing snakes down their pants. So that was, of course, the guys who, The bus sewage thing, that is a funny, that's a funny story because of how the police handled it. We're being all snarky, yeah. Making, you know, smart-ass comments and stuff.
They love to do that.
But, yeah, I'm going to have to agree with you, and we'll see if it's going to be unanimous, because I voted for the dummy who called 911 to bust their prostitutes. All right, Nancy, who would you vote for here?
The sewage for gas guys.
The sewage for gas guys. Okay. All right, Nancy, thanks for the vote. All right, take care. Those guys are dummies. All right, we'll do it again next week. We'll take a break here for some weather, and when we come back, it's time for Straight Out of Context right here on 720 WGN. Here's your forecast for today: mostly cloudy, breezy, cool, with a high in the mid to upper 40s inland, and then readings in the 30s along the lakefront. Locally heavy rain with embedded thunderstorms overnight, possibly changing to wet snow by morning, and then tomorrow, cloudy, windy, colder, rain or wet snow overnight. For Sunday, mostly sunny and cool, afternoon highs in the middle 40s, and then on Monday, temperatures will warm back up to the lower 50s with abundant sunshine. 44 degrees at O'Hare, 46 at Midway, and 41 at the lake front. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, it's time for Straight Out of Context. So when I'm in your neighborhood, you better duck, because Ice Cube is crazy as F-bomb. As I leave, believe I'm stomping, but when I come back, boy, I'm coming straight out of context, context, context.
What's up? Tell them where you're from.
Straight out of context, 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 context.
That's right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Allstate Skyline Studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. And it's Straight Out of Context. You know what this is. You listen to this radio station 24/7. And whenever anybody at any time says something that you can pull out of context and it sounds a little dirty, a little double entendre, jot down the day, the time, who said it, and send it to Nick D. Show. At gmail.com. For the first time ever, Tom Hush is doing the Straight Out of Context. Are you ready?
Very ready.
Okay, you got them all, and you're ready tell us who sent them and who said it.
Yes, I am.
There we go.
All right, let's go with the first one. This comes from Kevin in Iowa, Mr. Eric Childress.
Just goes to show you that, you know, length doesn't matter.
He doesn't own a tape measure at home, I'll tell you.
Oh, man, oh, man. Okay.
All right, this next one's from Tim, and it's Nick.
Suck on it and let it melt. Oh, man. By the way, I was talking about Hershey's Kisses. For God's sake, get your mind out of the gutter, everybody.
Grow up.
All right.
All right, this is from Kelly and Elgin, and Steve Grzanich got caught with this one.
Most of the time, I do it in the dark in the morning at 3:30.
Oh, that's good. That's a good one. All right.
All right, and Dr. Kevin Most, common guest here. He was caught by Brian.
You have mothers that saying it's gross when you spit.
Okay, good old Kevin Most. Love that guy. All right. Yeah.
Scott in Carpentersville caught Patty Vasquez with a pretty obvious one here.
Really long and skinny with the little mushroom
right.
tip.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
All right. Night Owl with Ro Khan caught him saying this.
I want to be like spread out like a starfish.
What? 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 What is happening on the afternoon drive? My
it's
God.
It's a zoo. It's a zoo.
All right.
All right. Margaret in Bridgeport caught Lou Manfredini.
That's right. The nooner.
Oh, man. Okay.
All right. Jesse sent in this one of Kevin Powell.
I've been doing the sausage
pretty
press lately.
Good.
So good.
Of a good sausage press.
Yeah. Well, you know. K-Paul likes talking about food, man. That's, you know, he likes his food. That's for sure. Okay.
All right. Next up, Mark with catching Wendy Snyder.
Can I tell you, 12 inches makes a lot of difference.
Oh, my God. You know, this is your first time collecting these and playing these back.
Yeah.
You will notice over the course of the weeks that we do this, Wendy Snyder will be a very big part of each week.
That is true. She's made the list three times here.
Well, yeah, that's not a surprise.
No.
Not a surprise at all. Historically, I think she's in the lead for Straight Outta Context.
I'll have to keep totals.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, another rogue con from Tim.
Tom, are we going to pull out of this?
At least buy me dinner first.
Oh, my God.
Come on.
All right.
All right, Steve Cochran. Finally making the list here. Got caught by Mike in Fox Valley.
Yes. Huge, huge, huger than ever.
Huger than ever. The hugest possible at this point in
getting
time.
Getting even huger.
It's like the hugation has been exponential.
It's a huge explosion is what I'm talking about.
It is. It's a huge avalanche all over myself. I can't even get up in the morning anymore.
What the hell was that? Was that Justin?
No, that was a guest of theirs.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to say, it didn't sound like Justin.
No.
All right, okay, that's weird.
Something's huge.
That's weird. Okay, next.
All right, next up, John Williams caught by our friend in the 815.
And now he's just got to slip it over his boom JJ.
What? 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 Oh, my God. All right.
Imagine pulling these from the logger.
I get it. Okay.
It's a nightmare. All right. Steve Cochran again.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so you're getting whacked all the way around.
It's from Dirty Dave.
Yeah, Dirty Dave. Good old Dirty Dave. Got a good ear. All right.
All right. And then we got a twofer from Wendy Snyder. This one's from Linda.
I will suck you up.
I don't even want to go there. Okay.
All right. And then final one. Another Wendy. This one caught by Brian.
They get a little harder here.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right. Like I said, Wendy is a big one there. Okay. All right. I don't know if we're going to have time to do the spies because we got a pretty good break here coming up. So, but how many spies do we have?
We got five spies here.
Five spies. So we're going to hold off, or maybe we can squeeze one or two in now. Here, let me do this. Let me do that.
Spies.
Hey.
Someone took your plans away. So what's all of us? There ain't nobody.
Spies.
spies.
Spies, spies.
Like us.
There you go. All right, you know what this is. This is Nick D's show, Spies. This is when you listen to this radio station 24-7. Whenever anybody mentions me or talks about the show in any capacity, we want to know about it. Jot down the day, the time, who said it, and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. You said we have five, right?
Actually, just four. Just four.
Oh, four. Ones. Okay, well, we can probably get... Let's just get one in here, and then we'll take a break.
All right, this one's from John Williams on Monday. And we got it from Diane.
Nick DiGilio, the ultimate expert on horror flicks. He's overnights on WGN, and nobody in America, I'm not kidding, is better at horror movies than our Nick DiGilio. Nick says Us is the best movie of the year with loads of homage to other horror flicks. Intriguingly, Dean Richards agrees. They rarely are on the same page.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, and Us rules. Absolutely. I can't wait to see what Jordan Peele does next, man. I'm very excited. I'm going to have to, now I got to, you know what, CBS is going to get my money.
Of course.
They're going to get my money, man.
I've already signed up.
I'm going to sign up for all access. I got to watch The Twilight Zone. Got to do it. All right, John, thank you for saying those nice things about my knowledge of horror. That's very nice. Good old J-Dub. All right, let's take a break. We got the news coming up after this.
Ooh, what do you do? No one else can dance like you. So what's all of us? There ain't nobody
spies.
Like
hey, hey.
Someone to keep lines away. So what's all of us? There ain't nobody
spies, spies, spies. Like us.
That's right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. It's Friday morning. That means all the regular Friday features are coming up, and we will have Fly Jams Friday coming up. And we have a Blackhawks Express to play back from last night's very exciting game for the Blackhawks. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio here till 5 a.m., and we got a few more spies to get through. This is Nick D. Show Spies. That's when you listen to this radio station 24-7. Whenever anybody mentions me or the show in any capacity, we want to know about it, and jot down the day, the time, who said it, and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. Okay, Tom, let's get back to it. What do we got?
All right, here's Mary Sandberg on the Steve Cochran Show talking about Haribo gummies. This is from Carrie in Louisville.
Nick was just talking this morning about overrated candy, and one of the things on the list was the Gold Bears from Haribo, and I was like, excuse me, those are the best.
I mean, they are.
She texted in when we were talking about
yeah.
it and was like furious that that was on the list of overrated candy. So
I believe it.
Yeah.
I was mad.
Okay, here we go.
All right, next one. Bill and Wendy, contestant was mentioning you on the show. This is from Linda in Blue Island.
Here goes. Not only did I serve as host for 1,400 episodes of the Hollywood Squares, but you may know me better by my rapper name, Eminem. Paxton, who are we talking about?
I'm thinking Nick DiGilio would say the Whoopster.
What? What? I don't even understand.
Goldberg?
It is not Whoopi Goldberg.
Oh,
no.
Doggone it.
Thank you, Paxton.
Thank you for what?
What was that? And why was I mentioned? Why did he mention me?
Do you call Whoopi Goldberg the Whoopster?
No. And by the way, it's Peter Marshall. That's an obvious question.
Yeah, it was the answer to that question was Peter Marshall Mathers, because
yeah.
it's like the before and after.
Oh, I see what they were doing. Okay, I didn't know that was the game that they were playing.
Yeah.
But yeah.
The Whoopster.
What is wrong with that guy? Why was I even brought into that situation? I don't want to be a part of that situation. And I know my game shows. I would not say Whoopi Goldberg. I know my game shows. That's Peter Marshall. The Whoopster. God. All right, we got one more?
Yeah, last one here. Brian caught Dean Richards talking about you.
Tom is going to be going to the Nick DiGilio show. Apparently working here on Sunday morning wasn't good enough for him.
So
he's
you
not
guys,
wrong.
He's got, you guys got, you guys actually, you got a lot of the people sent
we
in.
Did. Yeah.
You know, for Nick D show spies. A lot of the people sent in many entries because, you know, obviously you and Dean talked about it on the air.
Yeah, one emailer said, like, all you had to do, we could have a half hour segment of people over the weekend, because it was me, Pete, and Jane. They mentioned it, me and Amy Guth mentioned it, mm-hmm. and then Dean Richards mentioned it like several times.
Yeah, so Tom is now on my show and he's producing my show, and I'm very excited about it. By the way, man, you're doing a great job.
Appreciate you.
A great job. And now we have to unveil your DJ name for everybody who might not have been listening at the top of the show. First, let's do the theme, the intro for Fly Jams Friday.
When I grew up on the farm, fly was something we sprayed to kill, and jam was something we put on our breakfast toast.
Jam. Fly jam. Fly Jams Friday.
Oh, yeah. This is Fly Jam Friday on your overnight radio with my man, Nick D, on 720 WGN.
That's right. Fly Jams Friday. All right. We're ready to go. If you guys want to jump in, get your requests in now, 312-981-7200. Have we had any requests already?
Yeah, we've got quite a few.
Okay, we'll get to them in a second here. It's 312-981-7200, Fly Jams Friday. That's when we turn everything funky, and we get full of our R&B. We play some soul songs, and we get fly. So get it going right now. Get your requests in now at 312-981-7200. I am Wiki Wiki Nicky. Viggity, viggity, Vic, verified double V, running around like a lunatic in the newsroom as he does every Fly Jams Friday. And now, our new DJ, Tom Hush, your DJ name for Fly Jams Friday is?
It is DJ Luscious Hushus.
Oh, yeah, Luscious Hushus, baby.
There it is, DJ Luscious Hushus. And again, explain this story for people who might not have been listening at the top of the show when we mentioned it.
Yeah, so I had a nickname back in high school. It was Luscious Hushus. I guess one of my old classmates listens to the show because they texted it in.
As a name.
As a name.
It's the best one we came up with. And we want to thank you guys for participating and sending
so
in texts
ones.
And great suggestions. But we got to go with the nickname you had, man.
I know, it's so weird.
Well, let me hear that soundbite again. again.
Oh, man.
You got it?
I spent all of 30 seconds making it.
All right.
Ooh, yeah, Luscious Hushus, baby.
There it is.
Love it.
Luscious Hushus. DJ Luscious Hushus. Okay, Luscious Hushus, let's get some of the requests going here for Fly Jams Friday. Let's get funky. 312-981-7200. Go ahead.
All right, first one is coming from Robert in Wicker Park. It's Ball of Confusion by The Temptations.
Got it.
Segregation, determination, demonstration, integration.
It's a jam. It's a fly jam. You can't go wrong with The Temptations. I mean, I don't know if I'm not sure if we've ever had a Fly Jams Friday where a Temptations song wasn't played.
It's the best. It's funky.
I'm pretty sure. Pretty sure almost every single Fly Jam Friday that we've had, there's been at least one Temptations song that's played. And there's a reason for that, because they're The Temptations. That's why. All right, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. What's next there, Luscious Hushus?
All right, coming up next, We Come to Jam by Blaze, and that's coming from our main man, Dino.
Dino.
Ooh. Ooh. Don't be frightened. Why, it's just fine. Me and the farm. We come to jam, jam, jam.
That's a jam.
Come on,
nice request there, Dino. That's pretty fly. That's pretty funky. We came to jam. Started out kind of scary. They were trying to be a little scary there. So, All right. Fly Jams Friday, 312-981-7200 for talk and text. All right, DJ Luscious Hushus, what's next?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Next up is coming up, Lisa Lisa and the Cult Jam.
Oh, my God.
Can you feel the beat?
Oh, my God.
And that's from our man, Orlando.
Orlando. Lisa Lisa and Cult Jam. I haven't heard that. I haven't heard that name in a long time. We've played some Lisa Lisa and Cult Jam here on Fly Jams Friday, but man, it's been a while.
It's about as fly as it gets.
And she's it's just, that's the 80s, man. That's just so.
Listen to those snares.
It's so 80s. So 80s.
Like it's a Luscious Hushus seal of approval.
That's well, that's good. Luscious Hushus seal of approval. All right, I like that. Let's do one more before we break here. You got another one?
Yeah, I got another one here from Robert from Wicker Park, and I couldn't turn this down. It's Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Oh,
after
on.
The Love Has Gone.
Come on now.
You got it. Used to be happy, sad.
This is, you know, one of my favorite bands of all time. And that song is just as fly as it gets. That's as fly as it gets. And that's just the case with, like, every Earth, Wind, and Fire song. And that you got to love Earth, Wind, and Fire, especially because there's, like, 150 people in the band and they're all dressed the same.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. I saw him one time in concert, 600 people on stage. Also, but they're the best, always. That's another one, like the Temptations, where we have rarely had a Fly Jams Friday where at least one Earth, Wind, and Fire song.
Gotta have it.
Gotta play. You have to. It's the best. They're the best. All right. All right, we'll take a break here. I got some weather for you. We got a Blackhawks Express, and then we will wrap up the show with some more Fly Jams from DJ Luscious Hushus.
Get used to it.
I know.
I'm trying.
All right. We'll take a break, and here is your weather from the WGN Weather Center. Today, mostly cloudy, breezy, cool, high in the mid to upper 40s, inland, and then readings in the 30s along the lakefront. We'll get some heavy rain, probably, and some thunderstorms overnight, possibly changing to wet snow by the morning. And then tomorrow, cloudy, windy, colder, rain and wet snow overnight. For Sunday, mostly sunny and cool, afternoon highs around the middle 40s. And then for Monday, temperatures warm back up to the lower 50s with abundant sunshine. It's currently 44 degrees at O'Hare. It's 46 at Midway, 41 at the lakefront. All right, let's take a break here. And when we come back, we've got a very exciting Blackhawks Express from last night's game to play back for you. And that's coming up after this. Chicago!
Chicago Blackhawks have found their way here to San Jose, where they'll get one last shot at the playoff-bound Sharks, who at 0-5-1 in their last six games are looking to snap that streak by sweeping the Hawks. And now that the Hawks are 7 points out of a wild card spot with only six games left, they have no choice but to play hard right to the end. Now to Kane. He flips from the right circle, save. Loose puck in front to Brinkman with the back, and he scores! It's a power play goal for the Hawks. And they take a 1-0 lead on the Sharks. And the Hawks will stay on the Citco Fueling Good power play for the next 106. It's the first 5-on-3 power play goal surrendered by the Sharks this season. And the Hawks lead 1-0. Denisimov, top of the left circle. Put it in the right circle to Saad. To Murphy, straightaway, deep slot. He shoots, he scores! And this one deflected off somebody in front of the Shark net.
The Sharks defenseman.
And it deflects past Martin Jones. It's 2-0 Hawks with 13:41 left in period number one. Gustafson recovers in the high slot, backs up on the right circle, put it in front for Taves, and he shoots, and it's turned wide by Jones. Follow-up shot went over the net. Gustafson fires, save, rebound, Taves, he shoots, he scores! Jonathan Taves makes it 3-0 Hawks with 9:01 left in period number one here in San Jose. The Hawks with three goals on 12 shots. This time it's the captain cashing in. 3-0 Hawks. Burns behind the San Jose net. Passing up the right wing, here's Hurdle through center ice. Crossing the Hawk line, fed the right circle, and a shot from Radil. He scores. That looked like it hit Crawford's glove and tumbled in behind him and just over the goal line. The Sharks get one back and now trail 3-1 with 8:01 left in period number one. Nyquist at the left point, put it down to Boris Couture to the high slot. Now he to LeBanc in the right circle. Behind the back pass to Tim Heed, high slot to LeBanc, top of the right circle. And now here's a shot from the left circle by Nyquist. He scores. He was set up by Hurdle, who was standing along the goal line to the left of the Hawk net. Hurdle made a pass over to the left circle. Nyquist had a near open net to shoot at and didn't miss. Power play goal, 3-2 favor the Hawks. Cahoon at the Hawk line, hands the puck off to Strome, to Keith through center ice, to break it over the Shark line left point. He flips it over to the right corner to Cahoon, who waves it behind the net to Strome, put it in front to Brinkett, shoots, he scores! Number 40 of the season for Alex to Brinkett. Boy, quick as a cat, he snapped that into the top left corner, past Martin Jones, and the Hawks get the two-goal lead back, and now lead 4-2. To Burns, top of the left circle, guns it toward the net, and it's blocked by Crawford. Loose puck taken back by Burns.
That hurt Crawford.
Now here's Couture to Thornton, right wing circle, then right wing corner. Fed it in front, they score. It's off the stick of Tomas Hurdle and deflects past Corey Crawford. It's another power play goal, and it's now 4-3 in favor of the Hawks with 13:31 left in period number two. Put it out to center ice for Dylan Sakura. Here's Sakura in front of the penalty box. Has lost the puck. Nyquist at the Hawk line. Gave it to Couture. Put it in front of the net to Meyer. He shoots and scores. And with that goal, Timo Meyer becomes the all-time leader among Swiss-born NHLers in scoring in a single season. He ties the score at 4. Kane to Keith left point. To Gustafson deep slot. To Patrick Kane through the high slot. Kane backhands it in front of the net. He scores! And this deflects, I believe, off Chris Kunitz in front of the net. And the Hawks get the lead right back. It's 5-4 Hawks. Patrick Kane with a little creativity right there. And he made it count at the right time. 5-4 Hawks with 1:52 left in the period. With 10 seconds left, Burns muscling into the Hawk zone right point. Saad right there to try and pitchfork it out. Kruger does. 3 seconds left. And at the Hawk line, Saad takes the puck away, and time winds off the clock, and the Blackhawks beat the San Jose Sharks 5-4. The Sharks are now 0-6-1 in their last 7 games. The Hawks salvage a game out of the season series. They've won 1 of the 3 games, and the Blackhawks have now won their 34th game of the season. That's one more than they did all of last year, and pick up 2 enormous points.
There you go. Exciting game. Exciting game. Big win for them, but they got to win every game. And it's they're 5 points back, and there's 5 games left. So win, 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 boys. Next game is tomorrow night, 9:30, and they're playing the Kings. 9 o'clock is the pregame, 9:30 puck drop right here on 720 WGN. So there you go. So that's coming up. And also coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom right here on 720 WGN. Okay, are we back there, DJ Luscious Hushes?
Oh, yeah, Luscious Hushes, baby.
That's right.
You bet. Right here. Ain't going nowhere.
No. You can't, man. You can't leave.
It's, no.
You can't leave. All the plants are going to die. all right. Let's see. We've got somebody on the line here who has a request.
Yep.
Ike, go ahead.
Hey, Nick. How's it going with you, man?
Good.
Yeah, this is a very, very long lost jam right here, and it's from Juicy God and Crazy by 357.
All right. All right.
I like that beat.
Yeah, it's a good beat. Funky. Ike, thanks for the call, man. Thanks for the request. If you guys want to jump in here, we got just a couple of minutes here to get a few more in. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Fly Jams Friday. All right, what else we got there, DJ Luscious Hushes?
Well, I got a request from Steve.
Steve?
A little bit of Parliament. This one's called Aqua Boogie.
Okay.
There we go. Can't catch the rhythm of the stroke. Why should I hold my breath? Feeling that I might choke. Things you know, because of things you swim. Why pull your nose to spite your face? My rhythm, it makes it dance to what we have to live through. You can hear.
You ever seen Parliament, Funkadelic?
No, there's been some opportunities, but it's never happened for me. I love George Clinton.
You gotta see him at least once.
Yeah,
it's like Guar. You have to see Guar at least once. I don't own any Guar albums. I don't even listen to their music at all. But I've seen them twice, and they were both times both were ridiculous. So, I mean, I don't own any of their records. I never listen to to Guar at any other time, but it's something to see those guys live. Absolutely something to see them live. So, all right. We got another one.
Yeah, we do. I got getting requests all over the place. This one's from Bennett, the Business of Funk.
Oh, Bennett, the Business of Funk.
I've been waiting for this.
All right, let's hear it. My fault that I'm out here getting loose. Gotta blame it on the goose. Gotta blame it on my juice, baby. Ain't my fault that I'm out here making news. Time to put it in the proof. Gotta blame it on my juice. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. Blame it on my juice. Blame it on my juice. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A little bit of a newer one there.
Well, he's got a. We can always count on Bennett. Bennett's always comes in with the funk on Fly Jams Friday. Well, that's going to be our last one for this week. Great job there, DJ Luscious Hushes.
Oh yeah, it's been an absolute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. There you go. So we'll be back. We'll do it again next week. Fly Jams Friday and all the regular Friday features will be back next week. So there you go. Also, I just want to say, Tom, you did a great job, man.
Thank you. And I'm looking forward to doing more.
Yeah. Welcome to the show. People are enjoying you, man. And you add a lot to the show. You did a great job. It was a great first week. And I'm looking forward to working with you for a long, long time.
Oh, man. Okay. 100 years? 150
years? Let's do that. Let's do that.
Sounds good.
Okay, cool. All right, so that's Tom Hush. He is our new producer, and it was his first week, and he's doing a great job, and we're very happy to have him. And, okay, we are going to break because the news is up next, and we'll be back on Monday with our regular Monday movie reviews. Eric is going to be off. He's out of town. Mm-hmm. But Jim will be with us, and we'll talk about the movies and review the new movies. And my dad will call in and tell a joke, as we always do on Monday. So the news is up next. All right. It's going to be a good weekend sports-wise here on 720 WGN. We are we're out of here, and we'll be back on Monday morning with the movie reviews and my dad's joke and a lot more. But stay tuned right now for the opening bell with Steve Grzanich. Hear everyone's favorite weatherman, Tom Skilling, weekday afternoons at 4 on the Rokon Show with Anna DeVlantes on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn.